and welcome to episode 13 of the Arcade Repair Tips Question and Answer Podcast. My name is Jonathan Leung, the producer, director, and editor of the Arcade Repair Tips video series. And joining me today, as always, is Mr. Arcade Repair Tips himself, Tim Peterson. Tim, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Jonathan.
Well, it's good to see you, Tim. I know it's been a while since we've done a podcast. We've been so busy with other things, and you know, we've been traveling. I've been on vacation, and Tim's been going all over the place, and so we're glad to be back with you here for episode 13. Tim, is there anything you want to say before we get started with this one?
Thank you, everybody, for their patience. Remember, we do have full-time jobs and families. Sometimes life gets in the way, guys, but thank you all for hanging in there, and we hope that we can provide some good information today.
Sure. You know, we have been really busy, like Tim said, and, you know, this backlog of questions really shows it, Tim. We have more questions here than I've seen in a while, and I think it's because we skipped a week, and so we've got that week's questions plus the 2 weeks that we would normally do. So bear with us today, guys. We're going to try to get through all the questions as fast as we can, and we'll just see how far we get. We might end up taking a break in this one and saving some of those questions till next time. So for those of you who have emailed us who might not get your question answered today, don't worry. We will answer it eventually. But we're going to start off this podcast like we start off everyone by giving our progress updates from our previous shows. And we're going to start off with Craig. And Craig had a Dragon's Lair with a daughter card issue, if you remember correctly, Tim. And he says, hello, thank you for the information. I will check the daughter card. And I believe we told Craig that he needs to check around the wiring and the connectors connecting to that daughter card, right?
Yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah, so Craig says he's going to check it out and let us know how it goes. And remember that if you guys have a question that's answered on the podcast, please give us an update as to how you're doing and how the project's going. So, okay, now that we're done with Craig, we're going to move on to Anthony. And Anthony had a question concerning the 8-liner's chassis using it with a television tube. And he says, thank you for the reply, and thank you for all that you're doing for us in the hobby who are crawling up that learning curve. And Anthony, we're glad that you find it useful and that we could help you out with your question. Tim, we've had a lot of questions about the 8-liner's chassis, and it might be something that we consider doing a video about eventually. I think we've got so many questions from people who want to see how it's done that it's probably something we need to address with a video. What do you think?
Yeah, that seems like a good one to try. Michael always recommends getting a used television set tube, so that shouldn't be too hard to find, or we can get one from him.
Sure. So hopefully we can find an old tube and maybe do a demonstration video on how to use that 8-liner's chassis. So, Anthony, we wish you good luck, and let us know if you end up doing it how it goes. Now let's move on to Dan. Now, Dan had a problem with Mortal Kombat with the Hulu effect on his monitor. You might remember, Tim.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, and he says, thanks a lot for featuring my question on this podcast. I just want to give you a quick follow-up. I had the Mortal Kombat cabinet with the Hulu effect on the monitor. I took your advice and got the cap kit for the monitor for around $10. It came with almost all the caps, 19 total, except for one extremely large cap and four or five small caps. They were all marked with which caps to replace on the board, so I suppose it is more commonly failed ones or something along those lines. I discharged the monitor and removed the chassis thanks to your videos. Replaced all the caps and put it back in, and voila, straight edges again. Here's a before and after picture, and thanks again for your help. P.S. The color difference is just because I used a flash in the second picture. So, Tim, you actually sent some pictures in, and it looks much better after the cap kit. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it looks great, and thanks, Dan, for that update. Also, and Dan also said something very true in there. He said that they don't always send every cap, and especially, like he said, the extremely large cap on your monitor, those hardly ever. I have seen one go bad, but they normally don't come in a cap kit, so don't be surprised or too disappointed when you get a cap kit and it doesn't have every single cap that you use.
Sure, and Tim's got a great point. You know, when Bob Roberts and these people put together these cap kits, they are most commonly failed caps. So make sure you always keep that in mind. You might not have every cap in a cap kit, but you're going to have the majority of caps for you to replace on your chassis. Now, Dan continued and wrote us a little bit more, and we'll go ahead and read that now. Hey guys, Dan again with the Mortal Kombat cabinet from episode 11. So after a week or so of working well, I left it on, playing for a while, and went to have dinner. And when I came back, the monitor was blank, but the lights were still on. When I got a little closer, I could hear a steady pew, 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 pew from the back of the monitor as if it was almost starting up, but then not and trying again. Looking at the chassis, the fan was twitching in sync with the sound. I did some looking around. It sounded like it might be the flyback. One troubleshooting article for my monitor mentioned one particular resistor getting very hot if the flyback shorted, and sure enough, it was blistering hot. I got a new flyback from Bob Roberts for $27, put it in. All is well so far. Now I mainly have some cosmetic issues to fix on the cabinet. So, Tim, it sounds like even after he got it capped that the flyback went out on him, and he was able to replace that and get his monitor working again.
Right, and that's not uncommon. You know, sometimes they're old arcade games. You know, you fix one thing, something else goes wrong. that's why a lot of times, you know, Bob Roberts had that sale for a while on. I'm not sure if it's still on. A lot of times, if you have the time while you have it off, if you're going to keep the game, you want to keep it around forever. It's one of your main games. I would highly recommend just doing it all at once.
Sure. And that's a good recommendation, Tim, I think. You know, go ahead, replace the cast, replace the flyback and everything. Or, you know, you can do what Dan did and just kind of take it as it comes, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
And nothing wrong with that either. I mean, you never know. The flyback might last another 10 years. If anything else, you just get more experience in pulling and replacing that chassis.
Sure. Now, we had one more update from Dan before we leave him here, and he says, I do have one more question for you guys. It's a tough one to describe and difficult to take a picture of. This has been happening since I got the cabinet, before and after the cab kit, and before and after the new flyback. I get some noise in the picture, either only on particular screens of the game, or it's only noticeable on that screen. When I say noise, I mean sort of white dots or static. I noticed it mostly toward the center of the picture. Any ideas what may cause it, given that it's already changed? Since it's only happening on particular screens, maybe it's something with the game board. Though it could be that I noticed it on particular color backgrounds, I'm not really sure. Anyway, any suggestions would be appreciated. Thanks. So, Tim, it sounds like Dan's experiencing some maybe static in his monitor. And what could be causing the static? He says it's only on particular screens, and it's happened before and after the cap kit and after the new flyback.
Yeah, it does sound like it could be a game board issue, like a ROM. You know, we talk about sprites sometimes will look like static dots on the screen. One way that he could confirm this is to go like into his test pattern and just leave it on for like 5 minutes that they're watching. If it never changes, or remembering that Mortal Kombat is a JAMA board, one of the best ways we always tell you guys to keep an extra JAMA board around for your JAMA games, put a different board in there and see if it does it roughly the same times. I'm leaning towards maybe a board error on this one. Now, we also know that that Mortal Kombat board is full of ROMs and stuff sometimes, and they're usually always socketed, so good chance to pull those up individually. I don't know if we've ever showed a video on just pulling a chip or something, Jonathan, but
right,
it's not really that hard. Just got to be careful that you don't bend the legs all up and that you put it back in the exact same way. Maybe we'll put that on our list of videos to do, just simply taking off a ROM chip, cleaning it, and putting it back on. We have a Mortal Kombat. We could definitely try that on.
Yeah, and I think we have one slated for sometime soon about inspecting an arcade board and kind of showing you guys, you know, just how to go through and inspect one and to see if there, you know, is anything visibly wrong with your board. And maybe when we do that video, we'll show this. So hopefully, Dan, that gives you an idea. You know, check your board out. Let's see if there's anything going on there that might be causing some issues. So
just a quick tip. He can run his fingers across his board and see if any particular ROMs or chips are hot. But just if that was my game, right quick, I would press on all those chips and make sure that they're getting good connection. And I can't tell you how many chips I've seen that were kind of loose when you pushed them in and then they started working right.
Sure, it sounds good, Tim. So hopefully Dan can try that out and let us know how it goes. So, Dan, we wish you the best. It sounds like you've already come a pretty long way on your Mortal Kombat. We hope you can get it working all the way. So, okay, let's move on to Seth. Now, Seth's been a regular emailer to us, and he emails us with some centipede issues the last episode. And this time he replies back saying, I replaced the wire harness, and you're correct, the start buttons flashed when I did some research, and it means a PCB error. And I think you had said that, Tim, that those
right
cone lights on the front, they will flash, and however many times they flash, it basically gives you some sort of error on the board, correct?
Right.
And so he says he saw the little flashing lights and it ended up being a PCB error. I replaced the PCB and it works great. I just got done capping the Donkey Kong. I bought a SMB Versus, capped it, and redid the V-holds and other pots. It's working and looking great. Now I'm painting and restoring the rest of the cabinet. Tomorrow I'm picking up a Miss Pac-Man. I'll upload and send some pictures to you guys. Thank you so much. I love this hobby and won't be able to work on them without you guys. So we're so glad that Seth has gone from 0 to 60 in the arcade hobby, Tim, just that fast.
He's on fire.
That's right. I mean, he's been going through fixing these games. He had the Donkey Kong, then the Centipede, then the Super Mario Brothers Versus cabinet, and now Miss Pac-Man. Obviously, Seth, you got some great collector's pieces there. Donkey Kong, Miss Pac-Man, Centipede, all great collector's games, right, Tim?
Yeah, he's definitely got a leg up on the collection right there. So good job, Seth, and thank you for updating us. You know, it's always good to know that some of the things we're doing is helping somebody, and I hope that we continue to be a help to a lot of you guys.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to do videos. We have another video coming up pretty shortly here on how to adjust some dip switches for those of you who might be a little new to that, but you should be seeing it on the site soon, and we always have more videos coming soon as well. So Okay, that about wraps it up for all of the progress updates for this week. And so now we're going to move on to the website questions. So the first one we have, I really couldn't find a name on this one, but the email said Console Solutions, so that's what we're going to go by. And they write to us saying, "Hi, I've just purchased my first ever arcade cabinet, an Ikari Warriors. It is an SNK non-JAMA 3PCB one board. Okay, so when I first got it, the plug was trash, so I wired a new plug in and turned it on. The video shows on the screen, but there's no sound. When I do a self-test thing, it says CPU B, ROM 1, and ROM 2 are good, but then it does a test of CPU A and says ROM 1 is bad and just resets. How can I fix this? Am I forced to hunt for another replacement PCB, or can this one be repaired? Thanks." So, Tim, what advice do you have to Console Solutions here? It sounds like they're having some board issues. Is this the same stuff that we had with Dan earlier? I mean, do they just need to go through and inspect the board, or could this be maybe some power or some wiring issues?
Well, I'm leaning towards probably is his board. It's giving him the ROM errors and telling him actually which ROM it is. First thing I would do is to pull that ROM, clean the legs of it as gently as you can with like a soft wire brush or something. You know, a lot of guys will use like a pencil eraser or something and try to reseat that ROM. A lot of times it's just a simple connection issue. If it is indeed bad, then, we're going to have to try to find somebody who has a ROM burner that can burn those ROMs for you. And if you get to that point and you haven't been able to find anybody, I know there was one time hobbyroms.com, Stephen was doing that for a lot of people, real reasonable. You tell him what ROM you need, you send it to him, he burns it or sends you one, and I think he can help him out there if that's what it is. Now, of course, anytime you start getting ROM errors, you always, too, want to check your voltage going to that board and make sure that your voltage is right. Because sometimes, I know particularly, let's take a Williams game like a Stargate we were working on not long ago, showed lots of ROM errors, but it wasn't the ROMs that were bad. The ROMs were showing error because they weren't getting the 5 volts required to make that ROM work correctly.
Right.
So I would check your voltage, and I would reseat those chips before I would progress any further.
It sounds good, Tim. You know, anytime you're getting those errors, it's always a good, you know, good opportunity for you to check the power supply, something simple that you can do just to make sure you're getting correct voltage. And we did just put up a video not too long ago on checking a classic power supply, and I don't know what's in this particular Ikari Warriors, but it could be that classic power supply. If it is, check out our video on that, and that should give you a pretty good idea of what to do. Or you can check out the one we have on checking and replacing a power supply, which goes over switching power supplies. So it just depends on what kind of power supply you have in the bottom of that game. So hopefully that helps out Console Solutions a little bit, though, with their issue. And apparently Ikari Warriors is a big game right now, Tim, because we have another question from Reno, and he says, "I have an Ikari Warriors SNK non-JAMA machine, and when I turn it on, it slowly goes bright white, and then after some popping sounds from the monitor, flashes of blue and purple happen around the edges, and sometimes there's a green line all the way down to the left. The monitor did show the Ikari Warriors startup screen before I moved it." So, Tim, obviously he says the words "before I moved it," which is always like the death nail for an arcade machine.
Right, leave them still. No.
That's right. But, you know, he's having some monitor issues. This sounds like monitor issues. Does not sound like a board issue. But what can Reno here check on that on his chassis to see what may be causing some of these blue and purple flashes or whatever he's getting?
Well, one thing is when we start seeing sparks, guys, and flashes and pops and sounds, we definitely have some pretty serious monitor issues. Could be a bad hot or flyback more likely. By all means, Reno, you need to really be careful with this guy, because we actually have a Cruisin' USA that's sitting in our shop right now full of fire extinguisher
foam
because it was popping like that, and before the operator could get to it, they actually caught the game on fire, and they had to put it out with an extinguisher. So, and me and you have seen that one time before, Jonathan.
Sure.
The game literally threw flames out at us.
I think it was a joust, actually.
Yeah, joust. So anyway, be careful. Let's turn it off, and you definitely either need to start checking those things or send it in for repair to somebody that knows if you're not comfortable, Reno. But if you are, just a simple plug right now, we're going to be releasing our second DVD, which shows how to test the hot, and that might be something that would help you out there, and also how to check a flyback. Those are two things I would definitely go ahead and replace. Probably time to go ahead and do the cap kit while you're in there. His sounds like it needs an overhaul at this time.
Sure. Just an overall chassis repair probably from the ground up, huh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, yes, if he had the test equipment, the knowledge and things, but guys, we fixed a lot of chassis back in the days just from doing this, exactly what I'm recommending, the shotgun approach. Get the chassis, I mean, get the flyback, get the height, get the caps, and just rebuild it all in one time. You're still only looking probably cheaper than what we charge just to fix one issue. You could probably fix it and hopefully take care of many issues to come in the future months. So.
Sure. So, Reno, hopefully that answers your question. Obviously, you want to be careful. Take the necessary precautions. Check out our video on, you know, how to discharge a monitor properly. That's always important. And, you know, that way you don't get shocked. You know, obviously, always wear the correct protective equipment whenever you're working around high-voltage monitors and all that good stuff. So.
Now, he does say he's getting a green line. I'm seeing the popping sounds from the monitors what scared me. Not so much when you read it. It says flashes of blue and purple. Well, that just could be some colors.
Right.
I'm not sure that his board is 100% working. Maybe these guys could get together and do some testing with console solutions. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt to, honestly, another collector sometimes, guys, I've asked them, hey, if I send you my board, will you plug it in your game, check it, and send it back to me and pay for shipping? Sometimes it's worth it. But that popping sound from the monitor does not sound good. Let's be careful around that.
Sure. So hopefully, Reno, that answers your question. You know, just be careful around it and let us know how it goes if you do get it fixed. So, okay, let's move on to Larry now. And Larry has just a very short question and says, enjoy your informative videos. Do you have any that are directly for the bingo machines from Bally? Thanks. So, Tim, we don't really have any directly for the bingo machines from Bally. We tend to specialize more in just general arcade repair. But,
right.
But I mean, I would assume that this is really no different than any other arcade machine.
Well, maybe quite different than an arcade machine, being that a bingo is an EM-type game. I would have to say, honestly, to refer you to the Marvin website. It's Marvin3. Like the number 3M.com. Look it up, and he has a lot of information on those older games and may be able to direct you to somebody a little bit more knowledgeable. We're talking a game that guys that are 50, 60 years old, maybe older. I'm not even that familiar with working on bingo machines. But, of course, we have worked on some EM games. I'll be honest, guys, it's not my forte or my favorite thing to do. They're more complicated to me than one with circuit boards in it.
Sure.
But it's just because the stuff that I grew up working on is different. By all means, check out that site. I think that he has some information on there about those bingo machines that may help you. And it's real simple, guys. Everybody needs to bookmark that site that has a pinball game or wants to own one. It's like the Bible, according to pinball guys, and I've really learned a lot, even just general electronics on that site.
So what is that site again, Tim? Can you remind
us
there?
It is Marvin3M, as in Marvin, Marvin3M.com.
Okay. So you guys check that out, and Larry, hopefully that'll give you a little bit more information on your bingo machines that you're trying to fix. So I wish we could be more helpful, but we tend to only really specialize in more modern pinball machines and arcade games. So hopefully that helps Larry out, though, Tim. So
yeah, and Larry, if you have any problems, you know, we got some friends in the biz, too, that we could probably refer you to. So send us an email. Let us know that you were able to find it on that site. If you weren't, maybe I can point you in the right direction. We know some good guys that are really good in that area.
Sounds good. Well, hopefully that answers your question, Larry, and or at least it gives you a resource to where you can look up some information. So, okay, Mike, let's move on to his question. And he says, hello, I have a question about a JAMA game board that you guys all have, and I want to know if it'll work in my other arcade machine. I want to buy the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles JAMA game board that you have for sale, and I want to know if it'll work in my NBA Jam Tournament Edition cabinet. Both games are four-player, and I don't know if the wiring's the same, or do I have to change some stuff around. I don't want to mess up the NBA Jam hookups just to play this game, but if you can explain it to me an easy way, then I might be interested in buying the game from you all. I don't know much about fixing games. I'm just a buyer for home use. I know a little fixing, but not much. Thanks. Well, Tim, this kind of confused me when I first read it, because I don't think we have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game board in stock at the moment. So I don't know if it was maybe he was looking at like an older page or something like that when we did. But unfortunately, Mike, we do not have one in stock at the moment. But to answer your question about the NBA Jam to a Ninja Turtles, that's actually a pretty common question. Tim, we've talked about this before. They're both JAMA games. So the wiring for the 1 and 2 player is probably going to be relatively the same because those are located on the main JAMA harness. However, I believe the kick harnesses for these two games are different, which means that he would have to actually rewire it or wire in this another kick harness in order to play this game. And that's never fun, and definitely probably not a project for a just typical home buyer who doesn't want to mess too much with working around with them. What do you think?
Yeah, but, you know, again, it is doable. It's possible, and definitely a learning experience if you wanted to try that. We're only talking about an extra couple buttons, so we're not talking about rewiring the monitor and things like that. That will be the same.
Sure.
So you're just going to have to get – the easiest way to be to get the kick harness for the Ninja Turtle game from somebody and then use that to wire up into that. But
sure.
You could probably find one around or ask around.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely. I mean, we don't, like I said, we don't actually have this board in stock at the moment. I actually already emailed Mike to let him know that. But we also emailed him that this is definitely doable, but it is kind of a little bit more of a project than just kind of plug and play, right, Tim?
Yes.
So, and that's the important part. So, Mike, hopefully that answers your question. And good luck if you are going to find you a Teenage Ninja Turtles arcade board. So, okay, let's move on to Anthony. And Anthony says, first off, I would like to say I love your videos. They are very helpful, and I am a newbie at arcade games and was just wondering if it's possible to use an arcade or a computer monitor in place of a regular arcade monitor. I found a Satan's Hollow game that works fine except the monitor is shot. I have a few old computer monitors and was just wondering if I can install that monitor in the cabinet and buy a connector to connect it to the game. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to more videos. So, Tim, you actually replied to Anthony already, and it looks like you told him about the converter board that you can buy, correct? Yeah.
It can be done. And we got to remember that computers and arcade monitors run on different kilohertz frequencies. And so to get one work with the other, you got to have a converter. The question that we're going to ask as true arcade collectors is why? We don't, you know, it. You just for the look and the feel of the real game, we're always going to recommend that you use an arcade monitor or have yours repaired. You know, you say yours is shot, but be more specific. Unless it's been on fire, it's probably repairable and cheaper.
And even if it's been on fire, it might be repairable.
Even that, cheaper to fix than you may think. Even though I know you got the computer monitor. Now, just for
testing,
being able to play and testing, yeah, some of you guys might want to check. I'm sure, John, you'll post this link to JammaBoards.com. They sell the converter. Now, it's really great to have that converter around. We always use a computer monitor or something just around for testing, and that's very, very, very good. But I think, in my opinion, it would just kind of look ugly and just wouldn't – it's kind of like the LCD question, you know. We like arcade monitors to look like they did and play like they did, and that's just our opinion, though.
Sure, and I agree with you, Tim, but, you know, if Anthony just really wants to, he can buy the converter board from JAMA Boards, and, you know, basically what he does is he hooks a video input up into this board, and then there's a VGA cable that goes from the board to the computer monitor, and in that case, you could use the computer monitor to power your game. Like Tim said, though, it really, you lose some of the authenticity with it. You know, obviously, it has a higher refresh rate than what you have with a normal arcade monitor, so it's going to look a little bit different when you're playing it, but it should work as long as you have this board. But I really think that it's in Anthony's best interest to try to get his chassis repaired on his monitor.
It's $50 for that converter. Even then, you could almost get your original chassis and be a lot less work, honestly, than putting a computer monitor and installing it. Remember, it's not going to fit into the brackets and all those things that were made for that game. It's a lot easier to watch our video on pulling the chassis, send the chassis off for repair, and get that fixed. Would be a lot less work on his end, too.
Sure. So, Anthony, hopefully that answers your question. And, you know, just let us know if whatever way you end up going, if you end up getting your monitor fixed or if you end up in a computer monitor in there, let us know how it goes for you. So, okay, now we got Eric, Tim. And Eric writes us saying, hello. I'd like to start off by saying how much I've enjoyed your video series on YouTube. I have a question. I hope you can help me. I have just gotten a Star Wars Trilogy dedicated cabinet a few days ago. The problem I have with it is when I turn it on, everything works for a few minutes, then it just shuts off. All the lights on the board and on the monitor go off, but the marquee light stays on. Do you think this is a power supply problem or something else? Like I said, I will let you have about 30 seconds of play, then shut down. If you try and unplug it and turn it back on, it'll do the same thing, but if you wait a few minutes, it will power up, then do the same thing over again. Please help. I cannot wait to play this game. Thanks. So, Tim, we got Eric here, and he's got a game that, you know, I really enjoy, Star Wars Trilogy, a great game. It's a newer game, obviously, and he's having some issues with it. Now, does he ask if this is a power supply issue or something else? So what is your answer to this question? Is it a power supply issue or is it something else?
It sure sounds exactly like it. One way to be sure is to get a meter and to test the power coming off of the power supply. What I would do would be to unplug everything, the board-wise, to hold the meter on the 5 volts and to see if you just turn it on without any board or anything hooked up, does it keep running for a few minutes? If so, then plug back in the board. If it's just a power supply, it'll die even hardly with anything on it. It'll just, you know, there's things in there, capacitors and stuff, they're failing. They're just not able to produce what they were. If it is something else, you can start plugging things or unplugging things one at a time. Could be something drawing that power, though. That's what we're looking for. Is there a short or something that's causing that? A particular time in the game or something like that. Honestly, I've never seen this issue, but just from what he's telling us, it definitely sounds like it could be the power supply.
Now, something we should notice, he says the marquee light is on, and you have to remember that the marquee light is not powered by your power supply. It's actually powered from straight AC power from the wall a lot of times. And so just because you're getting marquee light does not necessarily mean that your power supply is working.
Right. Note of entrance, you can get the exact one that came out of that game from Hap Controls, telling that you have a Star Wars trilogy. You can look it up on their website, hapcontrols.com, and they do sell a replacement one for that.
Yeah, so if you want to get the exact power supply that you have, if you do determine that it's bad, you know, it might not be bad, Tim. It might just need to be turned up, perhaps.
That's true.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It could just be that you have too low a voltage right now, and if you crank it up a little bit, it'll work. But you need to do some measurements. Again, you need to watch our videos on checking and replacing a power supply and checking and replacing classic power supplies to see if you can get some measurements off there to see how it's working. So,
you know, being that I have one of these games at work and I play it every day, I can tell you that about 30 seconds into the game is when the graphics and stuff kick in. Could just be, like you said, could be low where it's draining that at that time where it needs more.
Right.
But first you're just picking the screens and stuff like that. It doesn't have quite the graphics as once you start into the game.
Sure. So, you know, hopefully that answers this question, Tim. I mean, is there anything else that you think that Eric might need to look for just offhand? I mean, this is definitely a game that I would like to see Eric get working. Like I said, big fan.
Well,
so.
Sure, yeah. We all like Star Wars, so we want... I think if you start off there and then let us know, I mean, it is possible it could be some other issues, but boy, I'm really the way it's sounding. Let's check into that power supply and make sure. If he said it was playing blind or something, then maybe we'd be looking at a monitor issue.
Sure.
And, of course, Eric, you know, when we're talking about playing blind, we're talking about do you still hear sounds and stuff, and does the video just shut off, or does everything, sounds the way he's talking, Jonathan, everything shuts off but the marquee lights.
Right.
Which, again, you said is AC voltage and not coming through your power supply.
Sure. So hopefully that answers his questions, Tim. And, you know, just get back with us if you have any other questions, Eric, and we'll go from there. Hopefully you can get it fixed with just checking some power supply, maybe cranking up the voltage a bit. So, okay, Tim, we're going to move on to Lucas. Now, every time I think of the name Lucas, I think of The Wizard. Do you remember that old movie? It had, like, Fred Savage in it, and it had this really bad dude named Lucas. Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent already. But I love that movie. If you guys haven't seen The Wizard, I'm going to put that on the Arcade Repair Tips recommended viewing list.
I thought you were going to say the movie Lucas. I like that one.
Oh, okay, there's another one. We're gonna add to the Arcade Repair Tips movie-watching queue, if you will. You know, get your Netflix ready, people. That's right. That's right. But anyway, we have an email from Lucas, and I don't think it's either one of the Lucases we're talking about, Tim. But he says, "Hi, I stumbled across your awesome website on YouTube. I'm so thankful there's actually somebody out there providing help on arcade repair, because otherwise all of us hobby owners would be left in the dark when something goes wrong. I've got a little problem with my Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting Machine that I just picked up. The sticks need replacing, but I've got a good idea about doing that. The picture is also stretched off the monitor viewable space, but another more troubling issue piqued my interest first. During gameplay, all of the character sprites are fine, but some of the backgrounds are distorted, garbled, or feature incorrect colors that flicker back and forth between correct and distorted as characters move back and forth across the screen. Also, the portraits on the left and right of the character select screen are completely garbled in a similar fashion. I included a few pictures to give you an idea of what's wrong. My guess is that it has something to do with the CPS-1 board rather than the monitor, since it's only certain elements of the picture that are damaged. If it's not too much trouble, could you give me a guess as to what's wrong or what needs to be replaced? Cowabunga, dudes! I love how he ends it. It's awesome. You know, you got to love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles references anytime you can get them. But anyway, Lucas obviously having trouble with his CPS-1 board, his Street Fighter 2. And Tim, I've seen this several times, and I think this is just basically something that happened because Street Fighter 2s were so played in the arcades when they came out that basically the ROM chips just wore slap out. And that's what I was told, actually, by somebody else. But now, Tim, you might be able to correct me. Is this the case? Is this board just worn out?
Sound like that some of the ROMs and stuff were getting to fail. I don't know how many Street Fighter boards. Now, being that it's this particular one, Jonathan, is a CPS-1 system, so he can reconnect and do a few things like that. But
yeah, it does have a two-tier board, and he could try to maybe remove that top tier and push it down
on there hard. We've had some luck with that. You know, if remove that top tier, like Jonathan said, clean in there, make sure that you clean all the contacts good, then push it back together. That'd be about the only thing that I can recommend. We don't even try to repair those. There probably are some people around that will tackle that. The problem is, for the price that you can get one repaired, a lot of times you can pick up another one.
Sure. And I think that's what it really comes down to. It might be in Lucas's best interest just to get another board if it's having these sprites. I mean, this is obviously the beginning of a bigger problem that's forming. And so it's probably better for him, you know, to either get it fixed now or to go ahead and invest some money in another board, don't you think, Tim?
Sure. And, I hate to just say that all the time as it's an easy answer. We'll just replace it. Well, you know, sometimes that's just – it's just monetarily speaking, it's the easiest thing to do. Now, I'm sure there are some people out there that do repair those boards, though.
Sure. So, I mean, yeah, if you can find somebody to repair it, that might be the way to go. But for Lucas, from our personal experience, we have a ton of Street Fighter 2 boards that have the exact same graphics problems that you're describing, like Tim said. And what we've done is we just buy new ones whenever we come across them.
We keep them around as test boards for when we need to see if it's a monitor issue or something, though. It works for that.
Right. And so, you know, and like Tim said, Street Fighter boards are extremely prevalent still to this day. They're not as prevalent as they used to be, but you can still find one for, you know, relatively cheap, you know, $50, $100 or something like that, maybe cheaper depending. And so might as well just see if you can't pick up another one or see if you can get somebody to fix the one you have. I mean, if you can, that's great, but otherwise just see if you can't pick up another board.
If you're having trouble, Lucas, let me know. I might could recommend you a few people that tackles those.
Sure. So if you want to get one fixed, let Tim know and we'll go that direction. So hopefully, Lucas, that answers your question. And we hate to be the bearer of bad news on that, but, you know, it's one of those things, you know. Working with arcade games every so often, you're not always going to be able to fix every little thing, and sometimes you're just going to have to, you know, either buy a new one of something or, you know, get what you have repaired by somebody else. So, okay, let's move on to HQR Us. Now, Tim, this is another one of those I couldn't find an actual name. That's just what they sent us. So I'm going to answer HQR Us's question. And they say, I have two questions about my poker machine monitors. The first one is from 1995. When I turn it on, it jumps around until it gets warm around 2 or 3 minutes, and then it aligns itself into place. After that, it is fine. Is there a problem, or is this normal for an arcade monitor to do this? By the way, it's a 19-inch Surmax. The second screen, which is an LG CRT, from a slanted machine, it's hard to access the manufacture date, but I'm guessing it's around 2002 because that's when the game date MK6 Aristocrat is, whatever that is. The screen has no image burn. I'm guessing it has not had a hard life. The problem is that once I turn everything on, it's fine, but after around 20 minutes, the screen goes bright and two red horizontal lines are visible on the screen. The screen has a slight blur after this time. Could it be the flyback is on its way out? I have not adjusted the flyback adjustments as of yet, as it's fine at first. Any help would be appreciated. Thanks. So, Tim, we have two monitors here. We have a 19-inch Surmax and apparently some sort of chassis hooked to an LG CRT. So let's take them one at a time here. What do you think about the first one? He says that when he turns it on, it jumps around and then aligns itself eventually. What could the problem be on this one?
Well, it definitely could use a cap kit after 95. You know, that's where we're always going to start, guys, but yeah, the fact that it jumps around and stuff also tells me his tube could need rejuvenating. Sometimes, I'm not real familiar with that poker machine. Sometimes they're just sending in a signal that's a little bit different, and it kind of takes it a little second to get its frequency.
Mm-hmm.
That could be normal for that machine. Is it normal for most arcade games? No.
Right.
But the fact that it aligns itself and looks fine, yeah, it's kind of one of those areas. How often do you turn it on? How often does it matter? I don't know that I would really even worry about it that much.
But if you were, you're probably thinking, what, cap
if
kit,
I were,
maybe
I would
flyback?
Probably. I don't think this is a flyback. I think it's more of a cap or something that's that a frequency cap is actually what it sounds like to me. That it's kind of like I picture back in the old days when we had rabbit ears and stuff on our TV.
Sure.
You know, and we tell a little brother to go over there and hold his arm up because we'd have just the right picture, and then it would kind of jump around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It would just kind of, you know, just couldn't quite get in. That's kind of what it sounds like, but then it does it.
Right.
So evidently, you know, it could be a cap that's causing that. Honestly, I'm not familiar with that monitor to be able to tell you, okay, replace this one. It's probably one of those 10 microfarad, 100 volt caps. Probably one of those smaller ones.
Sure.
But don't know. We might hit Michael up about that one too.
Okay.
The second one, he says after about 20 minutes, the screen goes bright and two red horizontal lines are visible on the screen. A lot of times that is indicative of a bad capacitor, and especially in the color areas in that red, I would rebuild not only the chassis capacitors but also the neck board capacitors. And it says it has a slight blur after this time. Could it be the flyback on its way out? I don't think so. Usually flybacks, as Michael has taught us, they don't start going out. They go out.
Right.
And
don't go out, you hear arcing or
right,
some
you're
other
getting
symptom.
Something. The fact that it flybacks mostly are a power type deal, and the fact that it comes on as playing, when you start looking at pictures and you get what he talks about, I've seen many times of those lines going down the screen, immediately that jumps into the capacitor area. And if you want to get specific, you would look at, well, those are vertical lines, and you would look at the vertical section. But by this time, if those caps are failing, guess what's going to happen? Many of the other ones are probably going to start failing. Without the proper equipment, things to do, the best thing to do is get a cap kit or look for those, visually inspect those caps, you know, and to see if any are bad or not. I want to bring up something. I know I get sometimes tangent. The other day, Jonathan, we were working on a Stargate, and none of the caps looked bad. But Stan was he said, feel this. And inside the capacitor, you could kind of feel it loose, kind of like it was rattling up inside there. It looked great from the outside. It wasn't bulge or anything like that. But just by feeling it and touching it, and that's one thing that my boss at work has been really stressing to me, is get your hands on stuff, touch it, feel it. You know, of course, we don't want you to get shocked up in a monitor, but at the same time, we noticed that we could replace the capacitor, and that's exactly what it was. And this happened to be on a power supply. So, you know, there may be some visual inspection there, but by all means, replace a lot of those caps if you can. And if you can't find a cap kit just for that, guys, don't get discouraged. Anytime you can't find a cap kit, that doesn't mean that you can't get caps. Just write down where the locations are, what kind of caps it are. You can go to Mouser, MOUSER.com, or a lot of local places will have different capacitors. Probably not your Radio Shack anymore, but maybe local, or ask your TV guys where they get their caps, or they might even sell you, make a cap kit for you and sell you for $10 or something. I know Zenon, X-E-N-E-N, Zenon Electronics out in Odessa, he'll make any cap kit that you tell him what you need. He'll make you a little cap kit, and he's also good at repairs too if you ever need something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good, Tim. So you just think maybe just cap kits on both these guys, and you think he's going to be in good shape?
For sure, the second one. The first one is a kind of a problem. I'm not quite as familiar with that, seeing that jumping and then straighten out. Usually I see one jumping, it kind of stays jumping, you know, and it's kind of one of those, if it's really bothering him, he wants to try that, he's not going to hurt it by doing the cap kit, and may solve his issue.
Sure. So hopefully that answers, you know, HQR us's questions. Like I said, best name I could find on the email and everything. But, you know, please let us know how it goes and keep us posted on your progress. So, okay, let's move on to Tim. Hey, he's got a good name already, right?
Yeah, I like that guy.
Okay, well, he also starts off really strong and says, hey, guys, love the site and the podcast. I have recently purchased my fifth cab. I got a Neo Geo MVS 4 slot for pretty cheap. Everything works great, and the monitor looks great. I do notice something pretty minor, and it drives me crazy. The monitor sometimes becomes a little jumpy or jittery. If you adjust the vertical hold, it's pretty sensitive to the touch. It will stay put, but it's a minor jitterness sometimes. I have checked the connection on the little pod with the adjuster knob. On the monitor chassis, I have followed the wires to the board, and on the V-hold part, they seem to be connected, but I did notice that one of the wires was a little loose and bendy. I am guessing this might be the issue. I was hoping soldering wasn't involved. I have no experience. Any help or pointers would be awesome. Keep up the good work. So, Tim, we have Tim here. He's having some vertical hold issues, it sounds like. I think we had the same problem with the Mario Brothers one time. Do you remember that?
Right.
And to where we actually had this issue. And a lot of times what it is just the potentiometer is bad, correct?
Right. You know, he's hoping the soldering is not involved, but I'm going to tell him probably the easiest fix on it's going to be to add a little solder on the back. And, Tim, if you're not that confident, remember, guys, go to garage sales, get you an old beat-up VCR or something with some circuit boards in it, an old computer, and practice. Practice on it. Practice taking the solder off. Practice putting some solder on, adding some solder. You'll be surprised. It really doesn't take very long. I bet within an afternoon you're going to be pretty confident. And just going to have to try some things sometimes. But the wire part that he says may not be a soldering issue, might actually need to be put a reattach or a connector, you know, might need to be in place there. And I'm not sure what size connector you need, Tim. Most of them are like a Molex 0.100. If you get me a picture of that and show me, I can tell you which ones, what kind to buy. And you'll need a crimping tool to do it with. But honestly, you're going to find that soldering's a lot easier than that fix. And I'm not sure, Jonathan, we shot a video on crimping wires before with the Molex tool, right?
Yes, we have. And I think that was installing a Molex connector.
Installing a Molex connector, that may help you on that particular instance. You definitely should put a new connector on that wiring. And then I would highly recommend either replacing the pot or just putting a little solder on the back of it. It's going to involve some soldering, though.
Yeah, and I'm going to second what Tim said, and this will do our public service announcement right here, our PSA, Tim, like they used to do in the 1980s. You know, if you don't know how to solder, there's no better time to learn than now, right? So, you know, go out there, get you a VCR, get you an old video game console. Well, hopefully not anything that you want to keep, maybe a broken one. Or, you know, something out there that has some circuit boards. Old computers are great. Whatever you can find, start desoldering stuff off there, soldering stuff on. Any kind of part, capacitors especially, and get your hands dirty in it, because that's the only way you're going to learn it. You know, I've said this before. Me and Tim just didn't sit down one day and say, hey, we're great solderers now. It came from a lot of years of practice. Obviously, I grew up, my dad had a soldering iron that we used, and he taught me how to use it. Tim's been using a soldering iron for who knows how long, and it all came from just doing it. And that's how we solder, is that we, you know, we just do it over and over again, and we've gotten good at it because, you know, it's just, and it's kind of like riding a bike. Even if you haven't done it for a while, if you did it when you were small, and now you're doing it again, you can kind of pick it up real quick. It's not very difficult at all. But practice is going to make perfect on this.
Yeah, you can do this, Tim. You said you purchased your fifth cab. This is something that it's a skill that you need to learn, but it's really not that hard. And we have confidence that. Also, remind him, Jonathan, that on our first DVD is a tutorial on how to solder and desolder to some depth, more than we just normally talk about it.
Right.
And if he wants to purchase that, he can see that how to solder and desolder both are on there, and give him some good tips.
Michael actually leads most of that discussion on the soldering tutorial, and so he's very good at explaining exactly how to do that, guys. And Tim's along there with him in that video, but both of them kind of go into how to solder, how to desolder. But, you know, like me and Tim said, there's no better way than actually doing it. So practice, get you some circuit boards, whatever you need, and make sure that you practice it a lot in order to get good at it. So, Tim, hopefully that answers your question, and hopefully you can, you know, kind of get your soldering skill up there. You know, in video games, you know, you have experience points. Maybe get a couple of experience points on your solder in there, and you'll start getting the confidence you need to do it. So, okay, let's go to Adam. Now, Adam says, hey, guys, love your videos and the podcast. They are extremely helpful. One area that does not get discussed much is the PCB. I have a Lethal Enforcers game that I've received with following error when running a test, EEPROM Q2 bit check failure. I believe I've identified the chip, but I'm not sure that it is a problem or what I can do to fix it. I'm guessing I need to replace the chip, but I think it's hard to find one to buy. The reason I'm not sure if it's the chip problem is because I see a disconnected transistor or something, not sure what it's called. I've attached a screenshot of the disconnected whatever it is. One end is attached, but the other end isn't. Could this maybe be causing the issue with the EEPROM? It seems an obvious problem. Any ideas what it is for or goes to? The game worked fine until it was moved. When I turn it on, the monitor displays what looks like a system check screen, and then it stays and tells me how to go into test mode. Any help would be greatly appreciated. I am contemplating purchasing a new board, but this seems like an opportunity to learn. Maybe I can send it in for fixing cheaper. Please let me know if you have any ideas. Thanks. So, Tim, we have Adam here. He's got a Lethal Enforcers board, having some issues. Sounds like board problems, obviously. So the first question he asks, though, is he says he has a disconnected something or other. And obviously, without looking at the board, we really don't know what it is either.
Right.
But, you know, he's saying, could this be causing the EEPROM issue that he's talking about? What do you think?
Yes.
short and sweet, yes.
Yeah, short and sweet. Probably there's a transistor in that will can cause those issues. You know, and I always take the real simple approach, Jonathan. I look at every piece on the board as being some kind of significance. Now, I'm not smart enough to know what every significant thing is about every port, but I do know when something's not hooked up right, it's not going to play right. So we want to definitely fix that or replace it. Now, he can probably just add some solder to that and connect that leg there. You know, that may or may not help him. He may need to replace that whole part. Definitely, I know a lot of guys that will take a switch wire or something, and you can actually solder it onto there, whatever, just to make a connection.
Now, I'm looking. He actually did send in a picture of it. I'm looking at the schematic, and it almost looks like it could be maybe a capacitor. I mean, it shows a little round thing. It's really hard to tell, but it does have a plus side to it. And he's saying this is what might be loose. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that might be a capacitor, or could it be something else in that position? I'm not really sure. It's really hard to see, but it looks like it's also labeled maybe C72 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
It looks like a capacitor to me, according to that schematic.
Right. So if it's a capacitor, he could always find a replacement capacitor with the same microfarad, the same voltage, and then replace it, correct?
For sure. Or he could get, like I said, a switch wire or something and just solder onto that leg and kind of extend it or add some solder. He might can make that, once that connection is made.
Right. Now, like you were talking about before with the Stargate, though, it could be that the legs are actually broken up inside the capacitor, correct?
Correct.
So that might be the loose feeling that he's feeling. And in that case, he would need to get a brand new one. Correct. So, Adam, hopefully that'll help you out a little bit. I mean, it's really hard to tell. We did see the schematic, but, I mean, best we can tell, you might need to replace that part and then see if it gives you the same EEPROM issue.
Give it a shot, for sure.
Yeah.
That'd be the first place to start.
Right. And obviously, you know, if you feel even halfway comfortable with soldering, that should be a pretty easy soldering job for you to do. You might as well try it. If it doesn't work, you know, I think Tim mentioned before, hobby ROMs. You know, if it's giving you a Q2 error on the EEPROM, maybe you can get you another one of those from Hobby ROMs.
But again,
like
if it's not getting the voltage required, you're going to get those type errors, and
sure,
that definitely could be the reason. You definitely need to fix that first, and let's go from there.
Okay. So Tim's advice, fix that capacitor first and then go from there. So hopefully that answers Adam's question. So Adam, if you have any other questions, you know, just feel free to contact us. We'd really like to keep updated on this one if you do end up fixing it. So make sure you give us a holler back if you end up doing any work to it and it works. So, okay, let's move to John. Now John says, hello, I have a Neo Geo with a Cortec KT-X26 monitor. You know, that's like Tim's favorite monitor right there, right, Tim?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's in awesome shape, he says. Awesome shape.
Okay.
Originally, the monitor only filled 2/3 of the screen and was a little skewed.
I was hoping he'd say it was bad. I was going to help tell him what kind of gasoline burned the best on it.
After capping the chassis board, the image had a full deflection and great color. However, the top 1 inch of the screen is still skewed and not stable. The skew is affected by adjusting the horizontal hold. Can you give me any suggestions? I was wondering if the horizontal hold pot could be flaky. So, Tim, what advice do you have for John here? He has this Cortec monitor that, like I said, I know you're a big fan of, being very sarcastic with that. But he says it's in good shape. It sounds like he's just having a little bit of 1 inch maybe skewing or deflection, which we've probably seen before. We've definitely seen before. What could be going on? Is this his horizontal hold pot?
It is correct that it could be that horizontal hold. And you can touch the solder up on the back of it or replace it. It could be what's causing that. And one thing that, you know, like we always said, let's rule out what it's not. That's an easy type repair to try. And if that doesn't work, then we can look on to other things. But being that he says it affects it, you know, that's a good way to troubleshoot it. You know, what is causing the effect? Now, the second thing, that if that doesn't work, I would recommend that he probably, it could be, yes, convergence rings. And you guys know what the convergence rings are. Those are those things on the back of your tube. You follow that tube, and then you see like the copper wires and stuff. Those are those metal rings that go around, or plastic, and you can move them. Now, here's the big caution. If it's not that, you can even do more damage to the picture by moving them. So what I always do is take some liquid paper or a white paint pen or something that's going to show really good, and I'll mark where they are right now.
Basically draw a line across them, not where you adjust them, but kind of down the way, you know, where they're all kind of flat, and just draw one big paint pen mark right across them, right?
Right. Then that way you can always get back to where you started. I would really think that he could be having a problem with that horizontal hold or the sink.
Right.
Sounds almost like a sink issue, too. Try your horizontal and vertical together. A lot of people don't think about that, but if it's not syncing up, which is kind of what this sounds like, I'm also going to recommend that while you turn the horizontal, also turn the vertical a little bit and see if that will help.
Sure. So hopefully that answers John's question. You know, we've seen some things like this before be affected by caps, but it sounds like he capped the monitor beforehand. So, you know, I'm not going to recommend a cap kit at this time because it sounds like you already put one on there. But, you know, like Tim said, check out the horizontal hold. You know, maybe adjust that pot a little bit if it's a little flaky. You know, maybe even replace it if you feel like it's in need of replacing. And then, like Tim said, maybe mess with the convergence rings just a tad. Remember, be very careful with those. Draw that line across before you get started. So hopefully, John, that answers your question. If you have anything else, please let us know, and we'll, you know, just keep us posted on your updates from there. So, okay, let's move on to Rich. Now, Rich says, I have a War Final Assault arcade game. It worked fine, except the buttons keep sticking. So I opened it up, I flipped the control panel open, and removed the buttons to clean them and put them back in. After that, I turned it on, and it won't boot up. The screen is working, I can see it flicker on and off, the power source is humming, but nothing comes on the screen and no sound is coming out. The only other thing I touched was the motherboard mount to move it to unlock the control panel clamps. Any ideas or suggestions? Thanks in advance. So, Tim, this is your classic case of I touched one thing and I broke the whole game. You know, Rich, obviously, he was just trying to fix some sticky buttons, and now he has no game at all. So what could be happening in Rich's case? What could have caused this issue?
Well, hopefully nothing serious. He did say that he touched the motherboard mount, you know. I hope that, you know, nothing metal or anything like that could have done any damage. What more than likely happened, Rich, is follow your wiring. Most of the wires going to your control panel and stuff are pretty tight. And I've noticed a lot of times when I open up a control panel, it will pull on the other wires behind it. I would just check and make sure that, he says the screen is working. So I would definitely make sure that the harness to the main board is still plugged in good. It doesn't take much of a tug to kind of get that pulled up. So push down on that. Other than that, that's a pretty tough one. You know, when you check voltage and things, it could have been one of my luck, Rich. Just it's time to go, and you just happen to be there when it happened. But I doubt it. Probably, you know, any time you do something like that, I just kind of retrace my steps sometimes. And as I'm opening that, you might have somebody look in the backside. What's it doing back there when I'm opening this control panel? Or is it pulling on anything? Maybe have someone look at that with you like that. I would just reconnect all the connections just about I could find, just to be honest. And then check his power, make sure that it's, you know, not something real crazy like that. That's just where I would start without looking at the game myself.
Yeah, and that sounds good, Tim. You know, I really think that that's probably what happened. I've seen it too many times. Your old Mortal Kombat 2, we had the same problem. When we'd pull out the shelf that the control panel and the board were located on, a lot of times power supply even, those wires would get tight and they would just pull out, the connectors would. And so this probably happened to you, Rich, a very common issue. You know, just check to make sure everything's still connected up in there. Sometimes it's hard to see in there. You know, you don't have access to the back. You only have access to the control panel. But if you see somewhere where a connector should be or you think should be, you might want to check to make sure that it is actually there. So hopefully that answers your question, Rich. This does sound exactly like what Tim said. I'm not going to elaborate anymore. But, you know, Tim, let's say everything is hooked up properly. At this point, what does Rich look for? What could the problem be at this point?
Well, I would definitely check all those connectors again and kind of go from there. Reconnect them, even if they look fine. So you don't know a very slight pull sometimes will cause that issue. Then just let us know and update us, and maybe we can go a little deeper there if need be.
Sure. Sounds good. So, Rich, hopefully that answers your question. And keep us posted on your progress and everything as you move forward. So, okay, Tim, let's move to Billy. And Billy says, "Hello. I just brought home a Donkey Kong Jr. machine. I was told there was something wrong with it when I purchased it. When I turn it on, there's a thin white line on the monitor. I can hear noises for the gameplay and all. I just can't see what's going on. The third knob on the pick seems to be loose. Any ideas? Thank you for your help." So, Tim, he had the third knob on the pick. The pick was of the soundboard, I guess. Is that what that is? The little off-monitor board that they have there that usually controls the sound. And the third knob there, I believe, is what, horizontal centering, it looks like?
Right.
But obviously, this is not the problem.
Right.
So, I hate to tell you, this is not... If it was that easy, you know, Billy, we would be celebrating out in the streets. But this is actually a much bigger problem, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah. It looks like your brightness pot is completely missing.
Yeah, I see that.
That brightness pot will cause a lot of issues like that. And the way that you're saying there's a thin white line on the monitor.
The thin white line is never a good sign.
Right. We know that to be a collapse, and you definitely need to rebuild that chassis and get a cap kit for it. A fun one to do. You can do a Nintendo. You can do anything.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do one in the future just to show the difference.
Yeah. But you know, CapKit is good and everything, but don't we usually relate this problem to, like, the vertical IC area on these guys? I mean, isn't that typically what we're looking at here?
On a Nintendo monitor, it's probably more than likely a cap.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But we've shot some videos on chassis repair that may help him on that.
Okay. Well, hopefully Billy can check those out and just kind of get an idea. Obviously, it's just not the knob that's causing this issue. It's definitely something else that has this issue, right?
Yes.
So, you know, obviously he needs to check. He does need to replace the pot, but he also needs to check out all the capacitors on his monitor as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Billy, hopefully that answers your question. You know, it's going to be a little bit more. You're going to have to get a little familiar with soldering, obviously, if you're not already. But, you know, check some capacitors on that board, replace that brightness pot, and maybe we can...
I would almost start with that brightness pot over everything.
Okay.
And so. Just see what it looks like after that. Sure. I don't think that's the cause, but it's definitely a noticeable problem that he needs to have fixed.
Okay. That sounds good. So hopefully just replace, you know, Billy, get a new brightness pot, replace it, and see how it goes. So, okay, next we have Roger. Now, Roger says, "First off, let me thank you for all the videos that you've placed online. They're very helpful. I'm working on a MAME setup in my Sega New Astro City cabinet, and I have a question about installing a new JAMA harness. Where do I run the connections for the ground on the JAMA harness? I've replaced the harness on my Neo Geo MVS cabinet, but that was easy because I replaced each wire one by one. I'm flying blind this time. There are a total of 8 ground connections that I can see on the new harness, ignoring the video ground, which is obvious and already connected to a Molex connector. Can I use them to wire up the ground loop for my buttons and joysticks? One in particular need to run to the grounding cable connected to the outlet or to the chassis ground. Why so many ground connections? Thanks again and best regards." So, Tim, Roger's got a MAME set up here, and he's trying to rewire this JAMA harness into his MAME cabinet, but he doesn't know where all the grounds go. And he asks, you know, "Can I use them to wire up the grounding loop for my buttons and joysticks?" Tim,
yes.
Can he?
Yes, he needs to. And the reason why there's so many is because there's a lot of different places that you can run grounds to, and you may not need them all, but they want to give you plenty. You need to run them to your control panel, to your coin door. If you're not going to coin it up, that's about at least 2 wires right there that you don't need to hook up. But you know that it's made. You think about all the other components, the speakers, just there everywhere that there's a ground. Typically, you know, you can run that. But yeah, daisy chaining. Well, I mean, most people do that. They'll just daisy chain from one joystick to the next and then run some of that down there. It may be in realistic, you might only use 3 or 4 of them.
Right.
But I would just don't cut them, just kind of loop them up, bundle, and tie wrap the others, because you never know in the future. And I'm sure that he's probably not going to make this coin up, you know, but each switch to your coin mech would have a ground, each coin light would have a ground. You know, there's a lot of grounds that a video game would normally use. But also, he's going to need to run a couple grounds to his power supply.
Sure.
And that would be, you know, right below where it says your +5, your -5, and this is ground. A couple of those wires need to run to there.
Sure. So, yeah, and I think that's good advice, you know, for Roger here. You know, obviously, this is probably his first endeavor into wiring up a JAMA harness, so he's not familiar with where they go. Yes, you can use them to wire up the grounding loops for your buttons and joysticks, and it is good to go ahead and connect them to your power supply as well. You know, or, you know, connect them, you know, like Tim said, to your coin door or any other place where a ground might be needed. So, you know, just look at kind of your cabinet and see where those grounds might be needed and run those cables there as needed.
In his situation, I can definitely see him not using at least two of them, maybe four.
Sure, yeah.
So that's okay.
Right, and you'll see that all the time where guys will cut off those grounds if they're not needed. Or you can bundle those extra wires just to kind of get them out of the way. Now, you don't have to use all of them, but definitely make sure that you use all the ones where appropriate.
So. Right, you definitely want to have a ground to your power supply or from your power supply to there. And then the ground, what happens there is you got a ground coming in where your AC lines, your three wires come in from the floor. And then you also run a ground from the power supply to the harness. So, in essence, when you have a ground to your joystick, it goes through the game, through the harness, back down to the power supply and out to the wall. So it kind of completes that long, you know, object is to make sure it's completely grounded like that.
Sure. So hopefully, Roger, that answers your question. And, you know, keep us posted. If you have any other questions about it, let us know. And maybe, Tim, that'd be a good thing for us to shoot a video on. We haven't done many on control panels, control panel wiring. Maybe at some point in the future we can show that.
Sure.
Okay, let's move on to Jose. Now, Jose said, I went through all of the monitor questions, but I'm not sure if my issue is the exact same as the rest. Now, before we move on with Jose's question, I want to applaud him for going through our entire archive of comments and questions, because, good Lord, on the website, I think the Trollshing Monitors with Michael has something like 100 comments in it. And so if Jose went through all of those, I applaud him for his effort. There's a lot of content on the site that hopefully, if he couldn't find his issue, then it must be something we haven't covered yet. So, okay, let's move on with Jose's question now. I have a Ms. Pac-Man Cabaret that I recently picked up. It has a bootleg New Puck 2 board in it, and I don't think it was the original power supply. I switched out the board since it was having some issues with an iCade 60-in-1 board. All is working great. The only issue I have is lines going vertical on the monitor about an inch apart. It does not interfere with the game, but annoying nonetheless. I wanted to see if you thought this was a cap kit replacement job, or if you thought adjusting monitor settings would help. It also seemed a little dark with the tinted plexi that was below the glass, so I took it out. Not having the tint makes the lines considerably more noticeable. I am thinking of just replacing the monitor and then selling the existing one on eBay due to time constraints, and my 5-year-old not having it to play with. Do you know what make and model 13-inch of the monitor and a good place to buy one? It seems that it's harder to buy these even on eBay. Thanks for any assistance you can give me, and continue the great work on assisting us non-professionals. So, Tim, we got Jose here. He's got a Ms. Pac-Man Cabaret, has a 13-inch monitor in it. He's having some, you know, vertical line issues.
Now
he's
asking, bars.
Yeah, exactly. Well, vertical line issues, it says. Mm-hmm. Is this something that's indicative of his monitor settings, or is this something that he needs to do a cap kit on?
Normally a cap kit? Yeah.
Okay.
Normally those lines vertically like that is normally a cap.
Sure. So you think he needs to just go ahead and do a cap kit on that
13-inch? Oh, for sure. Okay. It'd be worth it. Like you said, it's not going to find very many replacement ones. And, I mean, you could try Wells Gardner. I don't even know if anybody's making them anymore.
Sure.
You're kind of at the mercy of either fellow collectors. But easily, he could probably cap that monitor, be a great monitor to practice on, or send it to somebody like Michael or us that could do it for him.
Sure. So, Jose, you know, definitely, you know, try cap kit. Now, if you just want to adjust some things, you know, you can try that, obviously, beforehand. But Tim's thinking pretty strongly that this is going to be a cap kit replacement issue. So, you know, go ahead, you know, see if you can't get a cap kit from Bob Roberts or something like that, and then get it on order.
The only thing that bothers me is I don't know much about his board because he says it's a Ms. Pac-Man Cabaret, but he's got a bootleg board in there.
Well, and now he's replaced it with the iCade board.
Right, the iCade is JAMA.
Right.
And the Ms. Pac-Man originally was not JAMA, so I would definitely check the pinouts and the voltages to make sure that he's getting the voltage in the right place. I assume that his bootleg board was JAMA too, though, probably.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's just what I'm thinking. But, you know, you might have a good point there, Tim. He might want to go ahead and check that wiring just to see.
Yeah, you could have a bad 5 volts going somewhere it's not supposed to, or running a negative 5 when you don't need it. But probably not the errors that he's discussing to us. Also, if there's I know the iCade has a test screen for sure. Go into the color, make sure that you go to a test screen and make sure that it's pretty consistent. No matter what screen you go on, you're seeing the same lines And I definitely would think it probably needs a cap.
Sure. So hopefully, Jose, that answers your question. You know, just let us know how it goes, you know, if you end up adjusting it out or if you end up doing the cap gate on it, if it makes it any better. So, okay, let's move to Chuck. Now, Chuck says, hey, guys, I just wanted to say that your websites are extremely awesome and helpful. You guys by far have the best info on the web. I am very new to arcade restoration process, but I think I have a new hobby now. I have 8 cabinets that I have purchased, 5 work or partially work, and 3 need parts and a lot of work. I saw a page on your website that said technical repair and cabinet repair how-to guides. I would love to read these, but I can't seem to find the links on your website. I'd be extremely grateful if one of you guys could send me the repair guides via email or provide a link. Thank you for your time and keep up your excellent work. Well, Tim, this is kind of funny. I forgot I had put this one on the outline, but yes, timsarcade.net, which was one of our original websites, does have a section for technical repair and cabinet repair. Unfortunately, we never posted anything up there. So if you go there, it's pretty much just a blank page. And the reason is because basically that section became what is now known as arcade repair tips. So, you know, all of the technical repair and cabinet repair that you're going to get is pretty much all on arcade repair tips at this point. So, right. You know, we were thinking at one time that we would write guides, like physical book type guides that you guys could read. But then we realized how much that would suck because people hate reading. Right. And so we went to the video format because, you know, the videos are easier to understand. And we decided to take it more than just Tim's Arcade, but we would make it arcade repair tips. And so the reason why there's no technical repair or cabinet repair guides on the site on timsarcade.net is because we kind of took that whole section and made it arcade repair tips. So we apologize for that. We don't have any technical documents up there. We probably never will because, like we said, all of it's pretty much on arcaderepairtips.com. So,
but if you have some specific questions, right. Please email us back and let us help you with the, you know, we'll start somewhere, and let's get these games up and going for you.
Sure. So, Chuck, you know, like I said, I kind of apologize for that, but at the same time, you know, you kind of saw that was the beginning of arcade repair tips. So, you know, before we really had it. You guys got to remember, we started out as timsarcade.net, Tim's Arcade Restoration. I mean, way back in the day, what was that, Tim? Like 2001, 2002? It's back in the day now, right?
Seems like 20 years ago now.
Right, but it, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago when we initially did that site. And from there, we've kind of branched out into our different sites that we have. But Arcade Repair Tips has basically become that technical repair / cabinet repair place now. So, Chuck, hopefully you can find all the information you need on Arcade Repair Tips. And like Tim said, if you have any specific questions, we hope that you'll let us know. So, okay, guys, man, we're getting tired, Tim. I'm feeling it, man. I think we're already about a little bit over an hour into the podcast, but you know, like I said, we have a lot of questions this time because we've been slacking on doing the podcast. So we're going to continue to answer these questions until we kind of fall over. I think Tim's really close to that point at this time, but we're going to try to continue to move on. I mean, Tim's already killed his last.
I think that was a disclaimer for any of the the next quotes.
If any of the rest of the questions
are answered badly. Stand in water and hold.
Just to let you guys know, we're going to try to sit here and answer the rest of your questions. So let's keep on going here, Tim, and we'll chug on. So now we have Brian, and Brian says, hello, I'm working on my first machine. I am new to most repairs, and I bought a Virtual Fighter machine. Everything works, except I cannot brighten the screen. I can see the image at max brightness, it seems. From what it looks like, you suggest replacing caps. Any ideas, I suppose? Sorry for being so brief. Oh, and thank God you're warning for discharging on the monitor. So, Brian, I don't know if he found out the hard way or if he watched the video beforehand, but obviously, you know, he was very thankful for the discharging of monitor warning that we gave.
So. They had dark hair when I started all this.
It's gradually gotten lighter, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it sounds like he's having a little problem with just being too dark.
Yeah, well, you know, the brightness tab or the brightness control on his flyback, he needs to check it. Remember, guys, there's two brightnesses a lot of times on most games. You have the brightness pot that's usually attached to your, you know, like a daughter card that goes to your monitor. And then you also have the brightness on your flyback. Make sure, also, sometimes turning your contrast up will actually help that a lot, too. So you might watch our video on adjusting an arcade monitor. If that doesn't help, then, yeah, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and do that cap kit. And if you've listened to this podcast earlier today, you heard guys talk about doing a cap kit and how bright and nice and pretty everything looked after they got through. So that will definitely help you.
Sure. But I think I'm with you, Tim. Brian needs to go ahead and try to do some adjustments. Make sure you adjust both brightness pods and also adjust the contrast pod as well. If he does that, there's a good chance that he could get a little bit brighter. Now, something to keep in mind about Virtua Fighter, though, is it's also a medium res.
That is correct.
And so, you know, as far as getting, I don't know how that differs as far as getting cap kits. I wouldn't imagine too much. But,
no.
Definitely need to keep that in mind if he's going to replace it. So, that it is a medium resolution monitor. But, Brian, hopefully that gives you some places to start. Go ahead and try to do some adjustments. And then if those don't work, then move on to the cap kit. So, okay, let's move on to Gary. Now, before we move on to Gary, though, Brian said something. Sorry for being so brief. And I would say, don't ever apologize for being brief. Brief is what we like. I sit here.
Quick and to the point.
That's
right.
We read all the questions, or I read all the questions on the podcast. And sometimes I'm running out of breath, trying to read all of it. We love a lot of detail, guys, but what we'd prefer is just maybe a short little sentence and just some pictures. Because pictures to us are mean 1,000 words. We can easily tell from pictures exactly what the problem is, and we can help you solve it a little bit more effectively. So don't ever apologize for being brief, and try to be as descriptive as possible without making it too long-winded. So when you guys write in, so we appreciate all the questions as always. So we hope that you guys keep writing us. But now, Tim, let's move on to Gary. And Gary says, great videos. I'm going to buy it and try to repair my machine. So I assume he's saying the DVD. It is an original Centipede that I've owned for 15 years. Wow, long-term collector here.
Wow.
I think I have a bad monitor. Can you take a look at the video and confirm before I buy a monitor for it? Thanks for the help. So, Tim, we just took a look at Gary's video here. What are your thoughts on that video?
It didn't sound like Centipede. Gary, it definitely looks like it had some brightness color issues. You can try some of the adjustments on our how to adjust a monitor. It really could be a board or your AR board. That sound that was really didn't sound like Centipede was distorted really leads me back to the AR board or a problem with your motherboard. I'm not entirely sure that you don't have a couple issues.
Yeah, and it looks like he was also having a hold issue with that monitor. Did you see the screen flipping and everything like
right,
that as well?
Right, the screen was flipping. It looks like it was the brightness was either turned up too high or there was a little out of sync. So we definitely need to turn the brightness down, put the horizontal hold, and let's try to get that stopped. And then let's see what it looks like after that. But really, the sounds and everything were kind of distorted and just, it didn't even sound like Centipede.
Right, and that's what I was thinking too, Tim. I think this might be indicative of a bad PCB, perhaps, or a bad AR board, one or the other, or just bad power in general. I think, like you're saying, it's multiple issues. Having some problems with this monitor, having some problems with the wiring board, power supplies type stuff as well.
After 15 years of owning one, though, especially a Centipede, if you haven't had many issues till now, you've been pretty lucky. And,
oh, yeah.
And we're still not talking about expensive fixes. Centipede boards are pretty easy to repair, and they're pretty common. You can usually find one on eBay.
Sure, yeah. Seth found one earlier in the podcast. We talk about Seth. He got a brand new one, or at least a repaired one that worked fine for him. So, Gary, this is obviously something that's readily available if you need a Centipede board. But it's looking, me and Tim are both kind of thinking the same thing here, I think. Check your AR board, do some adjusting to that monitor, but you might also have to invest in a new PCB as well.
Yeah, we had a video on checking an old school power supply. I recently posted that might help you. Just make sure we're running the correct voltage and things up there. But for sure, do those monitor adjustments, and let's go from there. Keep us informed, please.
Sounds good. So, Gary, hopefully that'll give you some places to start. Please keep us updated. If you have any other questions, please let us know. So let's move on to Dwayne. And Dwayne says, I have a Lethal Enforcer stand-up game in my house that I believe the PCB needs repair. Tim, man, what is it? What is up? It's Centipedes, it's Lethal Enforcers, and Sicari Warriors tonight that are apparently the big ones. So everybody has the same games. But anyway, he says he has a PCB that needs repair on his Lethal Enforcers. It used to work, but then it started having some noise on one of the sound channels. And now when I turn it on, I only get a wavy, white, fuzzy screen. Do you know who I could contact to possibly ship my Konami GX191 Lethal Enforcers PCB to them for repair? So, Tim, okay, here's the symptoms he's got here. He's saying one of the sound channels has some noise on it, and he's getting a wavy, white, fuzzy screen. So do you think this is his board, or do you think it could be something else?
He definitely needs, on that Lethal Enforcers, uses the -5 volts. He needs to check his power supply. Not only does he need to make sure that he uses his 5 volts, but that the -5 is good. Isn't that correct, Jonathan? We've had that issue on Lethal Enforcers.
And it might have been Lethal Enforcers 2. I can't really remember, but it seems like it was one of them that actually did have that.
Check your voltage first. then everything seems fine. Yeah, you might need to have that PCB repaired, and I will highly recommend Michael can repair those type of boards, and he has a cabinet now to test it in.
Yeah, a wavy white fuzzy screen, though. I mean, does that sound like the PCB to you, or does that sound like more like the monitor?
Unplug your PCB and see what the monitor does without anything going on to it. If you're still getting a wavy white fuzzy or something going on there, I still, based on what he said about his sound and what I've seen with Lethal Enforcers, I do think it's his PCB. But one way you can check is to unplug everything, just run his monitor blank, turn the brightness up so that you can see a white screen and see if that's exactly what it is, a white or green screen. If it still has some fuzz and waviness and stuff in it, then you know it might be your monitor.
Sure. So hopefully, Dwayne, that answers your question. You know, try that stuff before suspecting the PCB, and if you're still having the same results, then we can start looking at the PCB. But I think Tim's right. Let's look at your power supply. Let's check a couple things there. Let's look at the monitor. Unplug your board. See if you're getting the same thing. And if you're not, then let's suspect the PCB at that point. So, okay, Dwayne. So hopefully that answers your question. At least gives you a couple of things that you can try. So, okay, let's move on to Kyle now, Tim. Kyle says, I just found your podcast last night and I have enjoyed it. Thanks for taking time for the hobby. I have a Spy Hunter project that I have just started with the vertical monitor, and this is not one that I have seen before, and I want to order a cap kit. It is a vertical frame monitor. I will attach some pictures for you to see some part numbers. I am hoping that you have seen this one before. So, Tim, Kyle sent us some pictures of his monitor, but, you know, as far as identifying monitors, what's the best way to identify what monitor I have and what cap kit I need?
Well, usually we advise people to go to Bob Roberts' site. He has a link on there that's called What's My Monitor? And I would like for you to look through there and click on the different pictures of different monitors and see if you can find one that looks real similar to yours. Again, if you can't find your monitor, a lot of times write down the capacitors and send it to Bob or somebody, and he'll make you a cap kit most of the time. Here's something I haven't told you guys, a good way to do this. A U5000 Wells Gardner monitor has a whole bunch of caps on it. And what I have done before is I have purchased that cap kit. It's generally around $10. And that cap has so many caps in it, it usually was enough caps to fit most any other monitors. It has a U5000 medium res Wells Gardner monitor, has a bunch of caps on it. And sometimes I'll just buy that to have extra caps around, and sometimes that'll fix just about 90% of the other monitors out there will have those caps in there.
Sure. So, you know, Kyle, you might try that. But, of course, the best way to do it, right, Tim, is just to pull your chassis out, find all your caps, and then see if you can't contact somebody or someplace where you can order them from, right?
Right.
So that way you know you get exactly the caps
in. Have you looked at the pictures, Johnson?
I have not looked at the pictures yet. We can take a
look. Pull it up real quick while we'll continue on with something else. I will look at it and just see if it's something I recognize offhand. There are really a lot of monitors out there, guys. I'm not familiar with all of them.
Sure. So we'll take a look at that, and we'll get back to Kyle's question here in a second. We'll see if we can't figure out what monitor it is. So, okay, Tim, let's move on to Mike real quick. And Mike says, love your site and love your tips. I begin projects with great confidence now. Can this fan be installed wrong, direction-wise? The fans I have mounted either way, meaning the screw holes are found on either side of the fan case. The blades are obviously closer to one side. I'm not sure which way I would mount the fan. So, Tim, basically Mike here is he's replying to our video on how to install a fan in an arcade cabinet, and he's asking, can the fan be installed wrong, direction-wise?
Yes.
Okay.
It depends on what direction you want the air to blow on top of the fan. A lot of times you'll see an arrow. So you can install it, but, you know, I think in the video we recommend that air blows in and comes out that you have two.
Right.
But if you only have a choice, then most of the time I prefer that air blow in if it's cool air. You know, if you have it in a shop or your garage or something, you want that circulation. A lot of times we want air blowing in the bottom and out the top.
Right.
But if you only have a choice of one fan, then have it blowing in.
Sure. And I think that's good advice for Mike here is that, you know, he needs to make sure that he has, you know, if he only has one fan, he needs to make sure it's blowing in from the bottom. I mean, cocktail cabinets, this is a lot of the ways this is the way that they're mounted. They have one fan in the bottom of the cabinet that blows up. you know, and so or blows out sometimes to get the heat out.
You know, some people are going to argue with me on this one. They're going to say, no, the fan must blow out or the fan must blow in. You know what? Both help.
Right.
Both help. Either way, getting the circulation is the main thing.
Sure.
And getting air circulating, you might even play with it both ways. See which one you prefer. I'm not going to say one way is right over another. Now, somebody may go real technical on us and say, well, this, that, and I may be wrong. But I'm just saying that either one help, not having a fan at all, to me, is the major issue.
Right. And I think that's good advice, Tim. You know, Mike, it might just come down to what you prefer more than anything. Like Tim said, we prefer in from the bottom, out from the top. This is a fairly, you know, we all know that heat rises, and that's the main reason why we recommend that. But if you only have one fan, it's kind of up to you as to how you want to install it, you know, if you want it to blow in or if you want it to blow out. So now, Tim, let's go back to Kyle's question for a second. He had the pictures with the monitor chassis. You had a chance to look at those, and what's your determination of the chassis now?
It looks like a Wells Gardner 4900. And one distinctive thing about those monitor is a red and a green wire that go around the tube. If you see that, then you're pretty sure that you got a Wells Gardner 4900, a bright red, bright green colored wires that go around the tube. Now, from what I saw, though, it did look like a Wells Gardner 4900, and that's real easy to get a cap kit for.
Sure, and, you know, I think, Tim, that's probably the best advice we can give them. And the way we identified your monitor, Kyle, was the same way that we talked about. We went to the Bob Roberts What's My Monitor page, and we just looked at your chassis compared to the rest of them.
Yeah, why don't you look at that WG4900 and see if that's not the one that it looks like to you.
Sure. So, you know, Kyle, you know, take a look at that and order a cap kit for it. And you know, make sure that you think it's a 4900 as well before moving on that cap kit. And then let us know how it goes when you install it. So, okay, let's move forward now, Tim, and move to Brandon. And Brandon says, hi, I have a Bloodstorm arcade cabinet. I have a problem with the color, and the colors are off. For example, black backgrounds will be red, black objects are red-black, and etc. I have taken out the monitor chassis and have cleaned everything. For a while, the colors were correct, but after an hour, the bad colors returned. Can you help? I would like to add adjusting the colors on the monitor have no effect. So, Tim, we have a Bloodstorm cabinet here. It's getting some black-red, red-type coloring where it should normally be black. What could be the problem here? Do you think that he needs... Obviously, he's saying the adjustments don't make any difference. So what do we need to do?
Well, you know, we're always going to recommend that you do a cap kit, because that will at least replace any... It'll eliminate the caps that could be. Then if you're still having that same issue, then we want to look at, you know, your red drive. It sounds like it's kind of overtaking some things, which would be the transistor on your neck board near your red cutoff and stuff. Now, some adjustments up there, don't forget there's adjustments on your chassis. A lot of times there's adjustments on your neck board.
Right, and there's a red cutoff and a red drive. That's something that should be said. On most monitors, they have both. So make sure you're not adjusting one and not both of them. Make sure that you adjust both of them to adjust that color.
Yeah, and we beat that like it's a dead horse, but guys, you know, cap kits just really are a great way for you to learn how to do some repairs, but at the same time, they really solve a multitude, not only color issues, they'll solve some other problems and problems that could come up power-wise and things like that, prolong the life of your monitor a lot.
If you guys haven't read our article on installing a cap kit, we do talk extensively about exactly what issues a cap kit fixes, and it's stuff like bleeding colors, like in this case, but it can also be stuff like screen stretching and things like that as well. So, you know, make sure you guys take a look at that if you haven't already. And Brandon, you know, hopefully, you know, you can put a cap kit on this one and it'll fix up your color problem. But again, before you do that, you might want to just make sure that you are adjusting both of the red color potentiometers on that neck board. So, okay, Tim. One thing I want to say is I want to thank all the people who are listening to us from overseas in the UK and stuff. You know, I know that, you know, our Texas accents must offend your ears, you know, constantly, but we do want to thank all of our different listeners overseas and in other countries besides the United States, and as well as our United States fans as well. But it's really cool to hear from people in the UK. And the reason I say this, Tim, is because our next question is from a guy in India. And his name is Perry, and he says, hi, I am very much interested to learn from your experience about the peculiar problem in a Nanano monitor 26-inch that I'm facing. After running for a while, the sync signal goes out and the picture becomes unstable. I mean that when we start this monitor, board and all goes well, but after 5 minutes or so, the sync is unstable. Please suggest me the equivalent number of the transistor D1880, as it's a bit difficult to find this number here in India. So, obviously, Tim Perry has narrowed this down to, it sounds like, a transistor issue. Mm-hmm. But, Tim, if we were just generally troubleshooting the sync signal, what would you say Perry needs to take a look at?
It could be a transistor. Perry's on the right track. He obviously knows probably a little bit more than the newest guy that's listening to us. The newest guy we're going to actually recommend to do a cap kit and stuff. If he thinks that transistor is bad, I'll work on that one and try to find him a cross-reference. Most U.S. sites like Mouser, M-O-U-S-E-R, can cross that for you. DigiKey, D-I-G-I-K-E-Y is a good site. You can even go to like Fairchild Electronics. Most of those should be able to cross that for you. The Nano chassis, I'm pretty sure it's a Korean made. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Right.
I do know that it's given a lot of people fits. I'm not 100% sure exactly what's going on with his, with it losing the sync like that. Probably I want to get him to go ahead and email Michael directly through Michael's site, which is
TVRepairOnline.com.
TVRepairOnline.com. And let's get with him. Thank you for writing in, though. Michael would probably be really more helpful than I would at this particular question, and will also help you cross-reference that part. Michael's really good at that, finding those rare stuff too. So I'm going to force that over to Michael, but let's, and I'll try to remember, Jonathan, we can forward that question to him also from his email. But wow, that's pretty neat, getting a question all the way from India.
India's a long way away, Tim, and you know,
it kind of looks like Texas though.
Maybe a little bit. So
I like India.
That's right. You know, and a lot of cool things come out of India, and we're glad that Perry's over there fixing games over there, too. I mean, that's just amazing to hear. See, that's the thing, guys. We love to hear games being fixed, and it's cool to hear it from anywhere in the world, whether it's the UK, or it's the United States, or it's India, or it's China, wherever you guys are located at. Please let us know, you know, let us know in your email that you're from wherever you're from, and we just love to hear you guys and like to hear from different people.
When the aliens come after the world, the video gamers are going to be prepared.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So
we're in this together.
Right. So, Perry, hopefully, Tim, between Tim and Michael, we can find you a cross-reference on that transistor that you're looking for that will hopefully fix up that nano monitor for you. So, okay, let's move on to James. Now, James says, I was wondering if you guys are going to add a section dedicated to light gun issues. I love your series. It has given me confidence to make many repairs, and I appreciate it greatly. I have 3 machines now that have light gun issues. All machines register a gunshot but do not have any aim onto the screen. I replaced the guns, and I have tried the settings on the monitors. I've even replaced one of the monitors with a new Wells Garner 27-inch. Mm. Any ideas would be greatly appreciated. The games are Carnival, Star Trek Voyager, and Area 51. Thanks. So, Tim, James here has 3 light gun games, all with the same issue. Obviously, he pulls the trigger, it registers a trigger, but it's not registering where he's shooting on the screen. So, Tim, you know, obviously you have a lot of experience with light guns, working at Chuck E. Cheese. What could these issues be?
Well, one thing, you got to make sure that your brightness is turned up pretty high, almost to the point where you don't like it to be that bright.
Right.
I tell you, gun games will give you fits. Most of your gun games also plug into a subboard, and I have seen those subboards go bad. They have a couple chips on them. You can replace those. Most of those subboards cost about $50 from HAP Controls. You might try that route. Did we shoot a quick video or something, Jonathan? Did we ever show people how to test a light gun?
No, we had actually planned that one, guys, and we didn't actually finish it. I remember we had some technical difficulties, I believe, during the filming of it.
Okay.
To where we couldn't get around to it, but that's definitely something we want to revisit, it sounds like.
Right.
Because there's obviously people out there with some light gun issues like James that need some help, and I think that that'd be a great video to show them.
Remember that your light guns operate on voltage, too. They need a voltage to power the little circuit board that's in there. So let's check your voltage. You may even turn your voltage up just a hair. Even if you're running straight up 5, maybe to 5.505, maybe 5.1, just to see if that helps you. A lot of people don't think about doing that, but sometimes you're not running the correct voltage up there. Turning up the brightness or the contrast will help you a lot of times. Remember, we had Lethal Enforcers. Man, you had to turn that thing up so bright it's almost a white screen.
Area 51, remember we had the vertical lines that you like to see? Like you guys, in fact, people email us all the time about the little vertical white lines because their brightness is turned up too high.
Right.
And that's how high we had to turn it up on our Area 51 to even get it to register, remember?
Right. So we definitely feel your pain there. The Area 51, though, is normally not that as picky as some other games. Lethal Enforcers is pretty picky sometimes, and the other games can be too. So make sure that remember they are light guns, so watch where your game's located. In other words, we've had light gun games right under a big bright light at Chuck E. Cheese or near a window, and we're getting the sunlight in during the days and would affect it. So you want your room dark, but your screen bright. And I would try to turn up the brightness some.
Right. Light guns are so picky. I mean, sometimes you get a game. I think we had a police trainer, Tim. Worked every time.
Right.
Never had a problem. And then, you know, you get something like a Lethal Enforcers or a Area 51 where you've got to do a lot of tweaking in order to get it to work.
We've had monitors that just flat out, we've ended up changing out the monitor. It's like one of them, he said he put a brand new monitor in.
Right.
And we've actually done that just because we needed the brightest, clearest picture to help with that. We had a few. I could never tell you why it wouldn't work, but we never could get them to work until we changed out the monitor. But since he's done that, I would really check. I would turn up the brightness or maybe the contrast, and also just turn it up a little bit at a time, see if it starts registering better.
Yeah, and you know, he says he's replaced all the guns. I guess I would assume with new guns. I mean, I remember one thing is, you know, you have the lenses in the front. If the lens isn't in the front of the gun, it's not going to work. And a
right.
lot of times kids will bang the barrel of that gun up and that lens will come out, and then, you know, you won't have it working.
Even scratches on that lenses will affect that.
Right.
Make sure that the lens is clean, not dusty. We went to a putt-putt one night, and the guns wouldn't work at all, nothing, and we just took a Q-tip, kind of wiped off that lens. It was so dirty that it wasn't working right. Then inside the gun, you have a little PCB, which you can get the whole PCB, but most of the time, it's that LED-like light on the end of the gun, a little
right.
emitter.
Little sensor.
It's what they call it, emitter. And you can just replace that. They're cheap. That's worth tracing. 9 times out of 10, gun issues with me, check your wiring going up to that gun and make sure that you got continuity on all your wires.
Another thing I forgot to bring up was calibration. You know, make sure you go into the test menu for the game and make sure you have it calibrated as well.
Exactly.
Because that calibration issues can also cause that same thing. You
sure.
know? So, you know, make sure you go into the test mode or service mode of that game and make sure you do a calibration before you try it as well. That could be your problem here.
And it could be any one of the things we said. It may be a combination of all of them. So
right.
email us back and let us know how you're coming with that. Or if you do solve the issue, even something we didn't say so that other people will know, because I think we'll probably find a lot more gun games getting out there pretty soon. They're starting to pull off route. They're not as popular as they once were.
You're right. And, you know, it's kind of unique to see somebody with three of them. James here with the
really
especially Star
them.
Trek Voyager. You know, I haven't, I've only seen a couple of those in arcades myself and I haven't really played it too much. So it's kind of neat to hear that. But, James, hopefully what we've said here will help you out with your issues. If you have any other questions, let us know. And keep us updated if you do try one of the things we said and it does fix your problem. So.
And if you haven't got brand new guns, and you really want to go that route, I highly recommend you Cointech Amusements. They sell on eBay a lot, and you see Cointech, tell Eric and Jennifer that we sent you, and they'll make you a really good deal on new guns, guys. They're some
right.
really better price than the HAP catalog because they buy them in bulk.
Right, and I think what we'll do is we'll put a link up to them as well, Tim, so that people can go there if they're looking for some new light guns.
Yeah,
so.
Any parts, joysticks and stuff, they sell a lot of that stuff real reasonable.
Right. So hopefully that answers your question, James. And now we're going to move on to Chris. And Chris says, "Hi, guys. I've recently come across your website and videos, which are really great, and I've already learned a lot. I've got a question for you that you might be able to help me with. I've got what was originally a Mortal Kombat 2 cabinet with what I think is a Hunter X Polo monitor. The problem is the screen gets progressively more squished at the bottom. So, for example, a full screen grid of squares will actually look like squares at the top of the screen, but as you go to the bottom, they get more and more flattened out to rectangles. Do you know what might be causing this, or even what I'm talking about? If not, I can take a picture of it and send it off to you. So, Tim, obviously we know what Chris is talking about. If you've got your test grid on your screen, basically it's a grid of just what's supposed to be squares.
Right.
But it sounds like what's happening is as he looks lower and lower on his monitor, they become more stretched out and more like rectangles.
Right.
What could be causing this?
It could be a cap, you know, that's causing that. You're starting to get that collapse type look. We talked earlier about the convergence rings, but in this situation, it doesn't sound much like it.
So Tim, like earlier, we were talking about Dan, who had the hula effect
right.
on his monitor. That, you know, it kind of had the curves on each side, kind of an hourglass effect.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that what Dan, the cap kit that Dan put on his monitor, could also fix this monitor here as well, right?
Oh, definitely could fix it, and a great first place to start.
Sure.
You know, you're starting, it sounds like it's really starting to collapse. Now, I mean, of course, sometimes that horizontal size, just by stretching it or compressing it, will take care of a lot of that stuff too. So let's not overlook the simple fact that a lot of that stuff can be adjusted out, and you should at least try that first.
Right. I think that's good advice for Chris here, though. You know, maybe try some adjustments. You know, check out our post on adjusting an arcade monitor. But if that doesn't work, take Dan's example on his Mortal Kombat 2 and see if you can't get a cap kit for the Hunter X Polo and put a couple of caps on there, see if it doesn't fix up your problem. So, okay, let's move on to Nathan now. And Nathan says, "Hello, I am a huge fan of the Arcade Repair Tips series. It has been very helpful in understanding things I hadn't understood before. This is the second arcade machine that I've had monitor issues with. The first cabinet, another Dance Dance Revolution machine, was in tremendous disrepair. I replaced the monitor. The machine in question is in phenomenal shape. I've owned it for a few years, and I know of its history. It hasn't been mistreated, etc. We recently moved, and after a move, the monitor quit working. It was a little strange, however. At first, after the move, the monitor would power on for a second or two, not long enough to display a picture, and then shut off. After a few days, it would power on for 5 to 10 minutes, display the picture perfectly, and then the picture would scrunch up and distort horizontally," which he says like it's width scrunch. This is the way he describes it. "It also starts producing a very high-pitched squeal. A few days later, I tried it again, and with the same results as before, except it was not as scrunched. Out of frustration, I slapped the side of the cabinet. The picture returned to normal and worked for several hours after that. I figured it must have been just something loose and let it go. The next day, it worked fine for a few hours, and then all of a sudden, no video whatsoever. The monitor is not powering on at all now. I took the monitor to a TV repair shop today, but now I'm wondering what the problem could have been. Have you seen or heard of this type of behavior before? Any idea what it could be? Thanks." So here we got Nathan. He's got a big arcade cabinet in the Dance Dance Revolution, something that most people don't have in their houses. But obviously, he moved it, which again is the key word. He moved it, and he started having some issues with it, and it sounds like he just did the old banging of the TV thing like we talk about, and got it working for a little bit, and then it started to go back to non-working. So, Tim, obviously it sounds like a short in his somewhere in his chassis, but what exactly could be going on with Nathan's chassis that would cause, you know, what kind of short could it be?
Right. Well, I've definitely tried the old slap movement, the slap move before, and usually when that's happening, it could be something just as simple as the cold solder connection or something.
Sure, sure.
So, Michael, first thing, if you'll watch the videos, everything Michael always does, the first thing he does is turn that chassis over, and he follows the power, where it comes in, and then over to the hot and the flyback, and he will touch up all those solder places.
Right.
And we fix a lot of monitors that simply. But then, you know, of course, then you got to look at the hot and the flyback and those type things. The fact that, you know, he says he replaced a monitor, I'd like to know, was it a new monitor? So it doesn't sound like a new monitor should be having this type of issue. But he probably just got a replacement monitor.
Yeah.
You know, could have been used.
Right. After reading it, you know, I don't know if it's a new monitor or not. So he said he replaced the monitor.
Right.
So he doesn't say that it was a new monitor. It could have just been a repaired monitor, for instance.
Yeah,
so
the TV repair shop probably will be able to pull. And you know, anytime somebody... You know, I always learn to ask questions, you know, what did you do? What fixed it? And hopefully they'll tell him, you know, because they're probably going to charge more than most arcade guys repairs or than Michael would. But at the same time, it'd be nice to know what they say it was. Based on what he's telling us, though, it could be something simple as a wiring issue, like where the colors go in. You know, we'll ask this question always about monitors. Does it play blind? In other words, do you still hear the sounds and everything else and it coin up and play? Could you actually play the game without the monitor? That's how a lot of times, guys, we're going to narrow it down to the monitor based on the fact that everything else works, we just lost picture. Or does nothing work? Well, then maybe you just lost power. So those are two things that we want
to
check.
One thing he did say was during all of the commotion that he did start to hear a high-pitched squeal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, high-pitched squeal, what are you thinking there?
A lot of times the caps will kind of squeal when they're starting. The filter caps and so forth will do that. It is possible that the flyback could be leaking and that it could be going out. There's a couple things there to check, you know. A lot of those caps right in the middle of the board or near that in that flyback area, that power supply area, it could be a flyback going out. Of course, the TV repair guys are going to catch that pretty fast if that's what it is.
Sure. So hopefully, Nathan, I answered your question. It sounds like you already got it to the TV repair shop, so hopefully they'll be able to fix it.
Yeah, that's why I'd like for you guys to please update us. All you guys, you know, sometimes it just seems significant. I mean, you know, and don't be afraid or don't be ashamed. You know, there's been games. I had a lady contact me not long ago. My Miss Pac-Man won't come on, won't do this. You know, and I was getting ready to make a trip all the way out there, and I said, did you have the back door on because it has that kill switch on there? And she goes, no, we took the back door off. I said, well, see that switch? Pull it. She pulled it, and the game come back on. Saved her a repair charge, but, you know, those are things that even the littlest stuff. So if you guys figure what went on with your games, y'all be sure to update, not for us only, but for the people that are reading and listening to these blogs.
Right, exactly. We want to get as much information out there as possible. So if you guys have a question, please update us back so we can tell people what you did to fix your issue. So, or if it's not fixed, write us back, let us know that you did what we told you to do, and then, you know, we'll try to give you some direction as to where to go from there. So hopefully, you know, Nathan answered your question. You're very fortunate to have a Dance Dance Revolution cabinet in the first place. Obviously, they're pretty hard to get, and they're still make pretty good money on route, Tim. I know you guys have like a Pump It Up, you know, where you work, and I still see Dance Dance Revolution arcades when I go out to you know, mall arcades, pizza arcades, and things like that as well. So hopefully they answered your question, Nathan, and let us know if you get that monitor back and get it fixed and everything. So, okay, let's move on to Kevin. Now, Kevin says, hello, guys. My name is Kevin, and through some random and hilarious events, I came into possession of a cabinet of my very own. He doesn't elaborate on that, Tim.
Okay. You told him to be brief, John, but I like a good story once in a while, but maybe you have to email that to me.
If you've got a good story, we'll definitely listen to it. But,
go ahead. Especially a hilarious one.
That's right. So, go ahead. Anyway, so he says, he came to a cabinet of his very own. I'm really new to the scene, but I've always had a basic understanding of how they work. The first thing I did was head to the internet to help fully understand my cabinet. After a very few not very helpful videos, I came across you guys. The videos are so helpful and easy to follow, especially for someone as new as me to the scene. I have to say that I'm very impressed and strongly encourage you guys to keep up the great videos and know that you're truly helping me fix my first cabinet. I'm getting more and more confident with each video. And hey, who knows? I have a lot of questions, so we may end up talking again in the future. Once again, guys, great job and keep it up. Well, Kevin, it's always good to hear emails like that. Now, one thing he did do is he did actually ask a question after that, though, Tim.
Okay.
So we'll move to his question. Mm-hmm. He says, hey, guys, my old cabinets are coming back to life after spending 5 years in the basement. A lot of damage, but the basics look great. Still lots of testing to do, but one thing I can't wrap my head around. I turn on the game and it runs, then I power it off. When I turn it back on, after several minutes, the machine seems dead. No power, no nothing. I have two cabinets that have done this. Same circumstance, same results. How sensitive are the power supplies? Could it be that the power stored in the power systems after all these years? Help, guys. So, Tim, what's going on? Is this a power supply issue? Are we having some other issues? What's going on here?
Yeah, it sounds like it from what he's telling us right there. And especially at the original power supplies, none of these parts hardly were made to last more than 3 or 4 years. That was their original goal, was to build a game, let it make its money, and then trash it. They didn't intend for people to be collecting these 30 years down the road.
Right.
So in today's power supplies, a newer power supply, but, you know, we have games that I've had for 10 years now, some of them, and I've went through 3 or 4 power supplies in 10 years. And, of course, these are games that are on our location that get played almost every day.
Sure.
But, you know, just about every game that we've accomplished, you hear us talk about power supplies a lot. Power supply and monitor questions are probably the two biggest things we get. So, by all means, you're going to check the voltage. When you say it dies, you know, are you getting marquee lights? Because, remember, guys, marquee lights are not usually wired AC and usually are not going through your power supply. They can be, but not usually. So, are you getting anything at all or totally dead? Now, we're talking totally dead. then you know, we may have some other issues in the back or just the ground of your game, different things like that. But I bet you those power supplies are starting to fail.
Sure. I mean, especially after being stored for 5 years in the basement. You know, I mean, you just don't know what's going on with these things now. I mean, you know, so I'm with Tim. You know, probably your power supplies are shot at this point.
Most of you guys, if you've had a PC at your home more than 3 years, I bet you already have had a power supply issue on it. So, you know, 3 to 5 years, right? You're just not going to get much more life out of one these days.
Right. Without doing some serious work to restore it anyway. And so, you know, I think that's a good point, Tim. So hopefully Kevin can go through here and maybe replace some of those power supplies on those old machines and see if he can't get them powered on. Now, one thing we should cover while we're here is those great kits that Arcade Shop sells for the switching power supplies in the classic games.
Right. They have a lot of convertible, in other words, the conversion kits.
Right.
That take it from old power supply. A lot of you guys have already had those kits in your games. You open it up, you're going, what's this thing down here? And that's why we shot the video on the old school power supplies, because a lot of them have been upgraded. But that is, and I know some purists say, well, they want the original linear power supplies to stay just like it, and that's fine. A lot of guys don't care as long as it plays and looks good and they want to upgrade. We always use the example of a Cadillac. You know, I'd love to have a restored classic Cadillac. I don't think I would drive it to California with an original engine in it, though.
Sure.
But if you put a brand new engine in it, which is what we're doing with the power supply, I might would drive it that far. It'll look like a classic, but it'll run a little better. That's why I, a lot of times, will recommend that.
Sure. And I think that's a great example, Tim. For guys who, you know, want to make sure that their game's going to run good, why not put a new switching power supply in there with one of these kits from Arcade Shop that you can just kind of plug and play in there? You know, we put one in a Kix one time. We put them in several machines that we wanted to upgrade. And here's the thing about it is that you know that you're going to be getting good power off those power supplies. So, you know,
right.
Brand new. So, obviously, you know, if you're going to do that, if you want to replace power supplies on these games, you might check into those Arcade Shop power supply kits, conversion kits that you can get, and those might help you out quite a bit. So, Kevin, hopefully, you know, you can try that out and get back to us as to how your replacements on those power supplies go. So, okay, so we're done with the website questions, and now we're moving on to the YouTube questions. We got about 6 of these, and then we'll be done with the podcast. So, here we go. Our first YouTube question comes from 1-inch biceps. That's the guy's username, and he says, "I've got a Geo7 board I need to change out pretty soon. The guy I bought it off of said the board itself can hold a charge. I read on some web pages that if the fuse is blown while discharging the monitor, that it'll hold a charge. I checked my fuse and it looks good. If the fuse is still good, will the board hold a charge? How do you check a board to see if it's discharged?" So, Tim, we have 1-inch biceps here. He's wanting to know, can the board hold a charge even after I've disconnected it from the tube? So, and he said he read somewhere that if the fuse is blown, it could still hold a charge, but if it's not blown, it could not hold a charge, or could still, or he doesn't know. So, Tim, tell us.
Every capacitor on that board has the ability to hold a charge.
Sure.
And so, you're going to have to be careful. Now, once you've discharged it from the tube, a lot of times that will take that really hard pop.
Right, the high voltage.
The high voltage out. Now, it's not going to hurt you as bad, but what you can do is take that same screwdriver that's hooked up to the alligator clips and go around your chassis and just touch different capacitors, especially the bigger ones.
Right.
And the ones near the metal heat sinks and stuff. And you can kind of take those charges out at the same time. That's probably the easiest way to do it.
Sure. So, you know, 1-inch biceps, if you really want to make sure it's discharged. Now, me and Tim, I'll be honest with you, we don't really ever do that. We do have some rubber mats that we might use from time to time to put down the chassis on, you know, so it's on a rubber mat, it's a little bit more safe, or we might use rubber gloves. But most of the times, we don't do that. We just make sure the high voltage is out of there, because the stuff that's going to be held in the capacitors, except for the big capacitor, is going to be pretty, you know, relatively small. It's not really going to hurt you too bad. So, I mean,
no,
and
if you set it still for just a few minutes, it should go ahead and dissipate that charge naturally. But, you know, they can, but they're just not going to hurt you that bad.
Sure. So, I mean, there's just some advice for you. You know, you do obviously always want to be careful around monitors, but, you know, once you've taken that high voltage charge out of it, you've pretty much weakened it to the point where any of the smaller charges are not going to really affect you. Still, you want to take precautions if possible. You know, if you have some rubber gloves, why not wear them, right? But, you know, otherwise,
sure.
You know, just be careful around it, and you should be fine. So, okay, now let's move on, Tim, in our YouTube questions. We have Jay Rising. I guess is how you say that? J Rising. I hope I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. I always get, you know, it's so hard for me to do usernames.
It's hard to follow up 1-inch biceps.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead, Jay.
But we have J Rising here, and he says, "Hi, I like your videos. I bought my first arcade. It's a Defender. I bought it locally from a guy who repairs broken machines. It worked perfect at first, then I moved it from my garage into my house, and now it won't turn on." And again, the infamous, I moved it.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we go. "There's no power switch. You just plug it in. I tried two outlets, and nothing happens. Do you have any ideas?" So, Tim, obviously, he had it working. He bought it from a guy who fixes machines. He moved it from one place to another, and now it won't come on. So, Tim, what could be happening here?
Well, you got a couple things. Is remember your kill switches that we talked about. You know, your doors have to be shut.
Right.
A lot of times it could be something just simple as a door shut. It could blow on a fuse. So we're going to follow the power with a multimeter coming into the game, and then also a loose connection or something come unplugged. I know that most games have fuses down the bottom. Make sure that both sides of that fuse has a connector. If they're not soldered on, sometimes those could come loose. Your power supply going up there, make sure that you're reading voltage there. When they're totally dead, I'll be honest with you, Jonathan, you know, many times if we go to a house, or let's say somebody wants to sell us a game, and the game is totally dead, I'm actually a little bit more excited than I would be if it had monitor issues or
sure,
something.
Sure.
Totally deads usually are not that hard to fix. If you start tracing your wire, start with your outlet. Make sure you got AC voltage coming there. Follow your wires where they come into the game. Just start following those wires where that path leads. And a lot of times just a loose connection or something, especially like you said, it's working. And then you moved it. Now it's not working. Now, if you told me some lights were coming on, the monitor wasn't coming on, we might have a little more serious issue. But the fact that nothing's coming on, remember that your switch to the game a lot of times has wires plugged into it. Make sure that they're connected. Check over all those wiring and stuff. I'm sure it's something really simple.
Sure. And I'm with Tim. You know, I think one time, didn't we pick up a Wizard of War, maybe, at an arcade auction, and it ended up, or was it a Swimmer? It was something like that. And we picked up an arcade game at an arcade auction, didn't come on, and we got it home, and it turned out that it just, like, the power cord had actually come unplugged from the inside of the cabinet.
Yeah, a little connector. One of the white and the black wires, one of those had come unplugged.
Right, and as soon as we plugged it up, it came right up. And so like Tim said, a lot of times when a game doesn't come up at all, that's actually a much better sign than if you're getting what we'd call like playing blind, for instance. So, you know, J Rising, hopefully you'll be able to maybe trace down the wiring coming from the wall into your arcade cabinet, check to see if those fuses are blown at all, and maybe check some kill switches around that area, and you might actually be able to get this working, right, Tim?
Sure, and check the power switch up on top of the game. Make sure the wires and all that
right.
is good.
Yeah, he's saying there's no power switch, but, I mean, Defender,
okay.
Defender usually has a power switch, if I remember, just like all those Williams cabinets, like on the very back in the upper right-hand corner,
right?
Correct?
You have two kill switches on the Williams, both doors.
That's right, both doors.
Both doors on the back and probably the front door, too, so check those out.
Yeah. So it could be any of those, but check those out, J Rising, and let us know if you have any other issues, if you still don't have power to that game. So, okay, let's go to, I guess this is DJ Sire 1. I feel so silly trying to pronounce all these names. To DJ Cire 1? Does that sound like DJ Sire 1 to you?
Close enough.
Okay, so we have him, and he has just a quick question. He says, "I own a Mortal Kombat 4 arcade game, and the sound works fine, but the monitor does not work at all. I'm getting a blank screen and a hissing sound. Do you know what I can do to fix that?" So he's getting a blank screen, a hissing sound. Tim, what does that sound
like? Yeah, the hissing sound sounds like a flyback.
Right.
And so he needs to get the flyback kit with the hot and all that, the $27 special, I think, if Bob's still selling them for that.
Right.
Needs to replace all that while the hot and the flyback while he's in there.
Sure.
And get that from Bob
Roberts. So, DJ Sire, best thing that we can tell you is replace the hot, replace the flyback, and see if it doesn't fix your issue. Definitely something in that area, though.
Just think of things that hiss at you, like snakes, maybe a cat or something. It's not a good sign.
Right. So, hopefully you can do that and, you know, replace those parts and maybe you'll get your monitor working. Mortal Kombat 4, personally one of my favorite games. It's a great game to play, so. Okay, let's move on to ZZR400CC. I'm just going to start spelling them out, Tim. It's much easier.
Okay.
But I have a consoleized MVS and a CRT TV, and it's okay. When I put it into my cabinet and adjust the RGB, the red and blue are somehow okay, but the green is always black, even if I turn the green knob. How do I troubleshoot it? So, you know, he has this MVS board, it sounds like, that he's consoleized. And when he hooks it up to a regular TV, it's okay. But when he tries to hook it up into his arcade machine, he turns the green knob and he doesn't get any green. Okay. So it sounds like it's probably in his monitor.
Right, so we know it's not in his board. What he needs to look at is that neck board to his monitor and the green drive, and there's usually a transistor back behind it. Also reflow the solder connections to his and adjust his green drive up and down, or the cutoff also.
And I'm also going to say he probably needs to reflow the solder pins coming in from the board to the monitor, where yes. that green connects as well, and make sure that connector is good as well.
Yeah, that's usually like a 6-pin connector down there. You have your red, green, blue, ground, and your sync wires. A lot of times, if it's that, he can kind of wiggle it
right.
and have either a mirror or somebody looking and see if the green goes in and out, or it could be the wire connector, the Molex end itself. But we've talked about that before. Maybe we need to actually show that. Very common, but you got one color that's either too bright or non-existent. A lot of times it's that drive transistor that's right behind it on that board. If you can't tell which one is a green, red, and a blue, there's only three. So a lot of times I recommend, while you replace one, replace all three of them.
Sure. So hopefully the answer is ZZR400CC's question. You know, obviously this sounds like he's not getting any green at all, Tim. That's what it really sounds
right.
like. And so it could be
that
in.
Usually when it's like the drive or something is usually either really green or just little green. When you get nothing at all, that usually takes us back to the wiring and coming in and making sure that green wire is actually
right.
hooked up.
From the board to the monitor. That's right. the key. The wiring from the board to the monitor. Check the connector, check the pins, make sure everything's making a good connection there. So, okay, let's move on to Moomert1. Okay. Mm-hmm. He says, hey there, I have a question. I have an arcade cabinet that uses a hard drive. San Francisco Rush the Rock arcade cabinet. After some gameplay, the cabinet will automatically shut down and restart. Someone will be using it, and it will act as if somebody is switching the power button off and turning it back on again. Do you think this problem could be in the power supply or a faulty hard drive? Thanks for your time. So, Tim, we have a San Francisco Rush the Rock, which Stan actually has, or had one of these. And
We have one.
That's right. We
had the same issue a couple
right.
weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're going to do is, I actually had some luck turning up my power supply to about 5.1,
okay.
a little bit higher. Now, I noticed that there was some static kind of on the bottom of my screen, and so I refreshed all those connectors going from the power supply up to the monitor, and I had a lot of success with that.
Sure.
Anytime you're getting a resetting issue with just about any game, you can about track it down. Not very likely that it's the hard drive. I don't think that's what it is. You can check the connections. Now, you do have in that game a voltage running over to that hard drive. There's a connector. You know, you have to have power to the hard drive. Come straight from the power supply. Make sure that connector is in there really good.
Sure.
That will help you. I'm trying to think of what exactly did ours the most. But maybe even just the top JAMA type or the long connector helped, but once we turned up the voltage a little bit, did a couple reconnections, we haven't had any problem now in about a week, so hopefully, funny you wrote that question in, I've been battling with that last week myself.
Now, there you go. So, Moomert1, hopefully that answers your question. Obviously, Tim has first-hand knowledge on that one, thank goodness, so, you know, just let us know how it goes if you just have power supply up and see if it continues to do the restart issues as well, so. Okay, and now we have Salzamon. And he says, you guys are awesome. It's so hard to find good info on arcade repair. I'm extremely interested in learning and have several machines I'm working on. Keep up the videos, and they are great. Do you ever do live webcasts? Maybe a question and answer. Well, we used to do live podcasts, Salzamon, and we kind of got away from that. We got a couple of trolls and things like that, so we've gotten away from that a bit. We've discussed maybe doing some sort of weekly question and answer session, maybe through like a meeting type software or something like that, that we could do and actually take questions on the fly to get you guys in. The problem right now is that me and Tim have been extremely busy. I mean, both of us have very, very, very busy schedules, and it's so hard for us to get together, and especially with Michael, too. And we'd love to have Michael back on, but it's time constraints at this point. Hopefully, once we get kind of past the summertime, you know, we'll get back to a semi-normal schedule. You know, Tim right now, at his job, it's the busiest that it ever is right now. Right, Tim?
Yeah, it's pretty busy. It's 10:12. I've been going since 5:12 this morning. So
right, you know, it's just it's very busy, and so it's hard for us to get together and do all this. But we'd love to do that, and it might be something that we take a look at. I think on the last podcast we kind of discussed maybe doing the possibility of doing a weekly question and answer session. And maybe we'll still entertain that at some point, Tim, because I feel like we still want a direct contact with people who need help. But right now the podcast is working well for us, and we love getting your questions in and kind of addressing them on here. So, Salzman, keep posted on our website as far as, you know, what we're doing and everything like that. One thing I do want to mention is that Mark Nellis has been doing an absolutely fantastic job on the Facebook page as far as keeping it updated with current information. And, you know, I post there, Mark posts there, Tim posts there, and we always have great information there. He's putting stuff like where to buy parts, you know, how to do different projects and everything like that. And so we really want to thank Mark, our community manager, for putting all that together. And if you're not a member of the Facebook page, why not do that tonight? You can get to it at facebook.arcaderepairtips.com. It'll take you straight there. And go ahead and sign up. You know, I mean, there's nothing you have to lose, and you're going to learn some great information there. And me and Mark and Tim try to answer those questions on there, you know, pretty fast. So, you know, obviously we also have the support of the whole community there. So if somebody else who's on the Facebook page sees your question, they can also answer your question as well.
Nothing else. It's a good way to add some friends with like interest. We've also made friends that way. So, and yes, Mark, we really do appreciate you doing that. And back to the last guy, you know, if you come across something you really need some help with, email me and we can get you, you know, if we have to set up a time when we have to get on my cell phone or whatever, need to walk you through something, we'll be glad to do that. You guys always know that you can call us, but if you need live support, we just have to set up a time when we can talk while you're working on your game. If that'll help you, and you can always email me and we'll work something out where you could call me or I could call you and we could walk through something like that too.
Sure. So, well, Tim, that about does it for the podcast this week. We made it through all of them. Yeah. I mean, now we didn't do a whole lot of discussion other than the questions that we had, basically due to the overwhelming amount of email. We've actually gone longer than we usually do. I think we've gone 3 weeks instead of 2 weeks doing this podcast. And so it kind of put us in a bind as far as the email. Guys, we're getting more and more email every day. And so, like, our original estimates of, like, 3 weeks turnaround time has become 4 and 5 weeks turnaround time just because it takes us that long to get around to your question. I mean, we have questions coming in constantly. That's why we encourage you guys to listen to the podcast, because we try to answer them all kind of in one fail swoop. Because what I do is we'll answer them all, and then we'll send out the emails for the answers once we've kind of discussed them on here. So we highly encourage you guys to listen to the podcast to get, you know, to get answers for your questions. Also, you know, we want to encourage you guys to go to the website, and we have added a kind of a welcome section at the top of the main page of the website just to help people who are new to the website kind of get familiar with it. So you know, if you've already been to the website, you probably don't need any of that, but for those who are just coming into it, just kind of introduce them to the website and let them know what it's all about. It is there for them. As always, guys, we have several ways you can contact us. You can contact us through the email at questions@arcaderepairtips.com. The majority of our questions do come in that way. And make sure that if you guys do email us, you know, if you have a good story, like Tim said, you know, you can send us the whole story. But try to keep the questions kind of, you know, straight and to the point. Send pictures and videos if possible. Best way to send a video, you can attach it to the email, but we'd prefer you probably do a YouTube video and then just attach a link to the email as well. So you can also send us some voicemail at our voicemail line, which is 972-8 AR-TIPS is an Arcade Repair Tips, or 972-827-8477 for those of you who are not spelling inclined on your phone, so which is probably me, Tim. I really have a hard time spelling numbers sometimes on my phone. So, you know, you guys leave a voicemail there, and we'll try to get back to you. Though, if people who leave voicemails, we try to call back. And that's very important. So if you want to get a hold of Tim, leave a voicemail, and we'll try to call you back. Either me or Tim will try to call you back whenever we can. So, okay, and of course, we have all the social media. We already mentioned the Facebook page, which you can get to at facebook.arcaderepairtips.com. We also have our Twitter page, which you can get to at twitter.arcaderepairtips.com. And our YouTube page, which most of you guys find us that way, I think, but that's youtube.arcaderepairtips.com. And we also have the iTunes page where you can subscribe to the podcast. If you don't want to download it on the site, you can go there, and that's itunes.arcaderepairtips.com. Tim, I should mention that 3 of our users have actually posted reviews, and we have 5 stars right now. So
wow.
That's right. So we actually do have a rating there, and we thank the 3 of you who have left positive feedback for us. And you know, we hope that if you guys enjoyed the podcast and everything, that you'd go on to iTunes and go ahead and rate us. That rating deals with our ranking as far as the entertainment section of iTunes is concerned. So the more ratings we have, the more good ratings we have, the higher up we'll get posted on the, on there. So if you enjoy it, let others know and go ahead and post a review there.
Lie if you must.
Lie if you must, like Tim said. So.
No, you know, just amazing. Jonathan, I just want to thank you for the job that you do. If it wasn't for you, I don't know all the social medias and things that we do. Wow, if you guys have a trouble in getting in touch with us, you know, we're trying
to
make this.
Yeah,
trouble, right? Yeah, we're just really trying to make this as easy as we can. But I do appreciate everybody being as patient. It's just a busy time of year for all of us. And so thank y'all for listening, though, and for hanging in there. And don't give up, and keep contacting us, and let's keep working on these problems together. And we need some updates, guys. Let's update and tell us where you're at, and
see if
we can't work. We're going to get these games fixed. We just keep working at it.
Exactly. You got to remember, guys, it's our job to help you fix your game. You know, in any way we can help you, just let us know, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. Tim, do you have anything else before we just head on out of here and call this a done show?
No, I believe we've said enough tonight, Jonathan.
I think we have too. I think I'm about hoarse. But we thank all you guys for listening, wherever you might be, and we hope that we've helped you out in some small way. And, of course, remember, with Arcade Repair Tips, when you fix the game, you play the game. Take care, everybody.